Reports of our demise were greatly exaggerated.
We're alive!
The world's longest vacation is finally over. I'm ready to come back and see all of your puffy faces.
I could frankly use about another week and a half.
Not me, I'm more than ready. Hello, Rob went to Germany, buddy.
Look who's back! It's John and Mike! Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hey, we saw Pat Randall at the Christmas party.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
And now two guys who planned a party like it's 1999.
Sure.
Because it is. John Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
That's the best you can do?
You're up for 2.5 weeks,
and that's the best you can come up with, Roby?
I just got off my Munich hangover.
Yeah, it's all that heavy German food that he's been eating.
And where's my green hat with the big thing coming out of it?
Yeah.
I couldn't find it.
I didn't have it. He got me a nice beer sign.
You got him a beer sign?
Yeah.
You got him a beer sign?
I asked him for one.
I asked for one, too, and then I said, don't worry about it. I would have appreciated you saying, well, I thought I'd bring you one.
Who's the bigger drinker? It's Rashawn.
Oh, welcome back. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Hello, and thank you for listening. Coast to coast and nationwide, and still through the auspices of Westwood One, darling.
Are we really?
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara, right here. That's why we still for this day call it Con and Dick and Don and Mike Show.
Hallelujah. It's good to be back.
It really is. Yeah. Yes, we are still coming to you through the very crappy studios of WJFK in Washington, D.C. And at some point, someone's going to have to explain to me why all of the different pieces of equipment have little stickers on them that say Y2K.
I thought that this in front of me was just something, somebody making a joke. What, is there a reason for this?
Every piece of equipment in the station, Daryl is taking into the shop and making sure it's ready for the crisis in 360 days or whatever.
What happened to a microphone?
I don't know, but it's ready to go.
Well, listen, hold on. First one of the new year. Let me just whip this. I just wanted to do that, get that tight right out of sight.
I'm glad you did, because now I'm looking at this piece of equipment in front of me, which is like a clock. It's got a label on it. Hope that doesn't blow up.
I got it on the microphone stand. I got it on my digital clock. I got it on my telephone system over here. I got it on the headphone jack. Y2K 65262. That's the number I got. And Mike, you got one on the back of your microphone.
Y2K 65294.
All right, here's mine. Y2K 652905.
Now, my microphone doesn't have a number or a sticker, but I've got 100-year-old tape machines in here with Y2K stickers on them. You know, seeing Y2K on some of this equipment is just cracking me. How can it even be tied into that?
The stuff in here has nothing to do with computers, man.
And it's not even tied into a computer. It's plugged into a wall.
And look on the gas microphone that our producer, Charlie Boyle, has just sauntered up to. What is your number there, Charlie? Turn around, please.
65296.
You know, I'd ask Daryl to explain it, but I'm sure we all start to hemorrhage by the
simple.
Time.
I asked him that too.
Really?
Okay. Station inventory of everything.
That's all. Oh, so it's a Y, it's a year 2000 inventory?
Yeah.
Is that what the... Oh, okay. I understand exactly.
Well, that still is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Putting a sticker with a number on everything.
And what's with the Y2K if it's just an inventory?
Because when the computers and the banking system and everything that keeps records blows up, we will know exactly what we have here.
I fixed them.
Are we stockpiling weapons?
I just peeled my sticker off my microphone.
Oh, Daryl's going to be mad.
Him around.
Just
also taking it off the headphones.
I'm
going to make it my goal to take off every single Y2K sticker that I see here in the studio, in the main studio.
Oh, that's funny.
Y2K. Why not?
Everybody's getting all panicky about that already. Incredible.
This is what they're wasting their time on, or gone 2.5 weeks, and this is what they waste their time on, putting little stickers with numbers on everything?
That's the type of thing they wouldn't have gotten off the ground if we were here. Come on now.
Well, now they're going to have to go back and redo it all. Because at least on my side of the board, I've taken all the stickers off.
If people had just listened to us a long time ago, Don and I have been stockpiling beaver pelts for about the last 10 years.
Weapons.
Sure.
Yes, freeze-dried food. Powdered milk.
Right, good.
We've got it. And plenty of gallons of our own urine.
Yes, which we will drink if we have to. Like you're not going to produce enough.
You can never be too sure, Buzz. The countdown is on now. Less than 360 days until our Armageddon comes.
Oh, dear.
So, listen, glad to see that no matter how much things change
You know that old thing. They still say stay the same.
Sure they do.
We left and the place is falling apart. We come back and it's
falling apart. I distinctly, you mentioned urine before coming into the studio. I came from the sales side of the building and I distinctly smelled a urine smell when I came in here.
The smell that says, welcome home. Welcome back to 1999.
It's horrible. It's like burnt urine. It's like urine and heat.
It never goes away.
So that's what they did the last 2 weeks. All they did was just put stickers on everything to give everything a number in here.
Yeah, because you got to inventory all this quality stuff as opposed to maybe just throwing it out and getting new stuff for 2000.
Oh, Christ. So I'm glad we're back. We'll fix this place up.
Sure we will.
In the year 2000,
though,
we will. My kid, we don't care. We can care less about this. Couple of things. We've got a big show today.
Good.
We're back. Listen, no more vacations through the whole millennium.
Right.
That's it.
We are actually will not be on vacation until the year 2000. We're making that sacrifice because we care about you.
You should know that this is a new show. You're not hearing a tape today. This show will be full of many of the mistakes, the boulders, the foul-ups, the faux pas that you've come to know and love on this show.
Look at that. Hear that little sound there?
That
would be edited out, much like they edited Lewis out of the Jerry Seinfeld, little stand on HBO. Yeah.
Today, I've got to tell you right now, I apologize right up front that I'm positive today's show will be all over the road because we've got all kinds of stuff to get in. Everybody's got their vacation stuff to get in. What?
You grew more beard. I just noticed that.
Yeah, because it's staring me up in the office for 2 hours.
I just
figured that out.
It's only in here where I really look you up in depth.
Come on, look at that, huh?
You're underneath, too.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Yeah. What do you think, Mike? That is nearly a month's growth.
Let me see the other side. Very manly looking. You can hardly see it, right?
Yes.
No, it's fine. It looks good.
Oh, it's fine.
It looks good. I like the goat. You've gone back. I guess you were out in the cold air and you wanted to have that mountain man look.
I had a month with no one to dress up for. I get all prepped up to come in here for you guys every day.
I just noticed it now. This is the first time I really. I don't stare at you in the office. I stare at you in here. Intently.
Oh, yes. I've got some hair on the side of my face. And we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Very rugged looking.
See what happens. So listen, today, all kinds of stuff. Shut up, Buzz. All kinds of stuff today.
That'd be the first shut up, Buzz, of the new year.
Welcome back. All kinds of stuff today, including all of the recaps from our hideous vacations.
Yes.
Why we are so glad to be back here with you today.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also start our new contest that maybe you heard about. We are going to broadcast from the Super Bowl again this year, as we are wont to do every year.
Super Bowl shaping up already to be a good one. I'll tell you, it's exciting football playoff time.
And this month, rather than do the rent and mortgage game, we're going to be qualifying people every hour on the show to go with us to the Super Bowl end of the month down in Miami.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to go to Miami in the middle of the winter?
Listen, about Miami, received a Christmas card today, and I can only think that this is from Julio Iglesias.
Okay.
Because the return address says Bay Harbor Islands, Florida. That's down by Miami, right?
Right.
And you can see it's like nothing personal. It's got like just a stamp on it. It says Don Geronimo, DJ. And then it's got a kid on the front with a pair of skis and a little snowman.
Yeah.
And you open it up, and it's half in English and half in Spanish.
Wow.
It says, we wish you a wonderful holiday season, and may happiness be yours throughout the coming year, blah, blah, blah. Julio, Miranda, and Miguel.
Is it printed?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure that's Julio.
You've been on Julio's mailing list since the foot sex interview.
Oh, so that is Julio Iglesias.
Yeah.
I like that. And Miranda and Miguel.
His little boy. My little boy, Miguel.
That is a personal I think we got one. You got one last year, and you were excited about it then, too.
Excited about it now, Mike.
Why not?
I'm jacked up about this, baby.
It's a nicer one than the one they sent in previous years.
Yeah, baby.
Who did you get that?
I am somebody.
Yes, you are.
I'm one of the many disc jockeys that got a Christmas card from Julio Iglesias.
Not just from Julio, from his whole family. A personal.
Right.
No.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I get my better judgment. We'll take one telephone call.
Oh,
and then we got to start the show. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I want to see Don and Mike.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah.
And I promise, no matter how badly this call goes, I won't spend the rest of the day harping on the fact that it's going to be a bad year just because the first call that we took was not the greatest.
This, in previous years, I know we've had the discussion that the first call of the new broadcast of the new year
kind of sets the tone, right?
Would be indicative of calls throughout the rest of the year, but, let's see how it goes.
So feel no pressure there, my friend.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello there. Did you hear any of what was just said? Just out of idle curiosity.
Yeah, I heard.
Okay, right on. So there's a lot of pressure on you right now.
Okay, I just want to ask them if they could play something. That's all.
Well, first off, this is us. This is them.
Okay, can you play a set you sing?
You mean he was my own student?
Yeah.
See, what I'm not going to do right now is flip out and think that this is like a sign that the whole year of phone calls is going to be bad. Just because the first phone call that we take after being gone for 2.5 weeks is this guy.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
This year is going to be different. This is not going to be your typical phone call. No. Don't go by this. Yeah.
Where are all the calls of the people saying, welcome back?
We've missed you terribly.
Damn, we've
missed you terribly.
Well,
my God, man, your voice hasn't even changed yet.
We just told you what to say. You're no better than a common Danny or Dave ventriloquist dummy.
How old are you?
How old am I? I just turned 18 today.
You just turned 18?
Yeah, I've been waiting to call you.
Well, at least, you know, that's to me.
Welcome.
I'm taking the positive out of this call, that's a good thing, that at least he's a rule obeyer.
So he says, Mike.
Yeah, he could be probably 12.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Goodbye, son.
18.
18 going on.
I like it. 18 going on 12.
Hello.
Good policy about that first call.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Welcome home and Happy New Year.
Ah,
well, that's nice.
That's a little more like.
Great to have you guys back.
Oh, no. See, that's what I was saying. The first call that we took was probably a guy saying, hey, listen, I'm so glad. But not a guy going, hey, can I ask them to play something for me?
I just turned 18.
A fun new tape?
Hey!
This is more like it.
Yeah.
We're going to say, you know, nobody here at the station acts like it's a big deal that we've come back.
No, it's like we were here yesterday. Nobody cares.
The only person that even said hello to me today and said it's nice to have you back is G. Gordon Worthy.
I got a nice greeting, as I always do, from our good friend, one of the best friends of this show, the incredible Timmy O'Bivenay.
Honestly, I didn't see Timmy today.
Always.
And a welcome back.
Always says that.
No, the only guy that had a welcome back for me today was a G-Man.
Yep.
Everybody else is like, oh, you're back.
You're just toiling away, doing what they do. You know, trying not to get fired.
No signs, no streamers.
No
flowers, no candies.
Nothing.
No liqueurs.
Oh, I shouldn't even bring this up.
Yes,
what? Somebody did welcome us back.
Who?
Have to give him his props, because he did.
Who?
Came into the office and said it to both of us. You blocked it out already.
Oh, Tim.
No.
Shrinsky?
No.
Kent Stevens.
Oh, no. Oh, right. The gerbil.
Yes.
Jeremy Coleman did come in and say hello to us.
He did.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Very brief, too. The guy we like.
Hello. I guess some people have said hello to us. I guess they have. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hi. My name is Stacy. I'm calling from California.
Hello, Stacy.
Good to hear you guys back. I missed you the last couple of weeks.
Thank you. See, this is what we needed, to puff ourselves up. To get today's show going.
I'm feeling puffy already.
Yeah. Oh, good. Like I said, we missed you. I wanted to let you guys know you aren't the only ones that had a bad vacation and are looking forward to having you back.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Have a great year.
And I give her tremendous credit for already assuming that we had bad vacations.
Already.
Oh, we did.
We did.
There he is.
And there's that guy.
Yeah. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, how about them Niners?
Now, does he know that he's hurting you? That's the question.
I think
Packers fandom so world-renowned.
Yes. This guy is simply trying to make me cry, aren't you? Aren't you?
I just had to get that out of the way.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I knew it.
Welcome back, guys. Have a good year.
All right, thanks for the call.
We'll see you.
All right, bye-bye.
For whatever reason, with the way you root for teams in the NFL, I've known you as a passionate Redskins fan, a passionate Packers fan, and a passionate Bears fan, and so when I said inadvertently in the office,
that's why it's so easy to always root for a winner when you root for like three or four different teams all at the same time.
But I think really that you bleed Packer green. I really do, because I inadvertently talked about that playoff game. I said, well, did you see the end of that? Wasn't that incredible? And I looked over, and for a moment I thought Dom was going to cry. He looked that upset about it, and then I realized that it was probably quite a painful game to watch if you were a Packer fan.
I almost did cry.
Yes.
At the end of that game, as a matter of fact, my wife and my son both looked at me. We were sitting in the family room watching this. Are you going to cry? No, I kept it together.
Well, that was really one of the greatest playoff games I've ever seen.
Sucked, man.
It did. For Packers fans, it sucked. It hurt you.
Yes, it did, Buzz. It wounded me. I'm over it now, though.
Good.
Thanks to this great greeting I've received from Julio Iglesias. hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah, I want to be your first hang-up caller.
Caller. Okay. I say from somewhere in New England. Hello there, Donna Mike Show.
I miss you guys so much. God, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, this is a mocking call. We're being mocked right now.
No, I'm not mocking you.
This is not sincere emotion.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. Okay.
Good mocking, though. I feel like we're kind of at home now.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Welcome back, guys. Missed you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so nice to hear y'all's voice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Missed you. Mm-hmm.
Little shell set. We're a little uneasy now. You don't know what they're going to sing next.
Ah!
Right. Give us a couple minutes to get our footing.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Is that it for you, lady?
Yes. I just wanted to say Happy New Year and welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
I miss you all.
Miss you.
Yes, I missed you all.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good sentiments. Horrible timing.
Thank you. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Thank you. I miss you all.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes, is Donna Mike Show?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is the guy that's locked out from ABC, remember us?
You mean the technicians that are locked out because of the strike?
Yeah.
Hey, how was your holiday?
Well, it was kind of cold and bitter.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're the guy, you talk to us, I think this might be your third or fourth time since you guys have gone out on strike, and you never sound really all that upset. I think you enjoy being out of work.
Hey, how do you like the fact that those NBA guys have settled their strike already?
They're going back to work.
Well, we at ABC, our technicians, we've opened our own line of clothing as well.
You're going to have your own benefit game?
Yeah,
Bunch of techies, bunch of guys with pocket protectors running around playing hoops.
So you know about, how long ago was it, like 4 months ago that you guys got locked out?
Yeah, it was actually in November. In the middle of November, we were locked out.
You're close to an agreement now, right? I read something today about that.
They're close, but they're not close.
Are you taking a big drag on a cigarette again?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Also, I'm talking on one of these digital cell phones, so I keep hearing an echo in the thing.
This guy has been a continual caller since the ABC technicians were now. Did you guys go on strike? Were you locked out? Have they replaced
you? We were locked
out.
I came into work one Monday morning, and there's a big sign saying you can't work here anymore.
And they replaced you with scabs, right?
Yeah, pretty much, and it looks to me like they're doing an okay job, but we still like to laugh at, it looks like Peter Jennings gets kind of lost, but they kind of talk like Elmer J. Fudd sometimes.
Okay, what are you going to do after you go back to work, or, you know, are you going to go back to work?
That's a good question.
Well, when we go back to work, we're just going to be bitter.
Way to go. All right. Thank you.
Be bitter and smoke more cigarettes.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, I just wanted to call and say that I miss you guys. And the best Christmas present I got was an autographed picture of Don and Mike.
Well, you must have had a very, very crappy Christmas, then.
No, you guys are adorable.
They're nice signatures, aren't they?
Yes, and they're
going right.
What I liked was you guys signed in different ink, and that made me feel very special.
Well, that might actually be one of the certificate of authenticity.
No, Rob, sign it.
When Rob signs our pictures, and many times Rob uses different colored ink. Like, are the inks black and blue?
No, they're blue and green.
Blue and green, no. Neither one of us would ever use a green marker.
Me and Rob's holding up a green magic marker right now.
Would my signature be the one in green?
I don't have it with me.
Oh, you should remember that. Yeah, Rob's nodding. Yes, of course.
Ma'am, let me assure you that although Rob counterfeits Donna Mike's signatures, nobody does it better. It looks so real. So because we get so many requests. It's no different than Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, or anybody else. You buy a piece of memorabilia.
But you're Mike McGuire or Sammy Sosa. I wanted a personalized autograph letter or picture from Don and Mike.
I want you to know my New Year's resolution for 99.
Yes?
Is now I'm also doing buzzes.
Picture with all three of you guys. So I've been working on the buzz. The buzz is looking better, and I have a third color ink, too. So.
All right, well, listen, happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you.
Bye-bye. I think that having Rob sign them, it makes them more valuable.
I think it makes it more valuable because we don't make it out like we really signed them. We've never told anybody to call them and say, thanks for the picture. We've never said, hey, don't mention. We've always said, hey, Rob did a good job signing those pictures.
Sure. And anybody at any time can get their official Don and Mike and Buzz photograph with an authorized Rob Spiewak forgery.
Hello. And you know what? After 7 years, he's got our signatures down
hat.
I never leave my checkbook with him, that's for sure.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Don on my show.
Hey, welcome back, guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, man. I've been dying to talk to you. Guess who called me? Lewis, or Craig, called me selling tickets to the Fireman's Ball about 2 weeks ago. I recognized his voice on the phone.
On Air Force
I could not believe it was him, you know. He just called up his voices, and he was doing his whole routine, too. I mean, you know.
That ball's going to be in Lewis's garage.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable thing.
Wasn't he doing some kind of phone soliciting when we knew him? Wasn't that his,
right, his other source of income? I think he's probably still doing that, that fireman's ball.
Yeah, he was selling tickets to a dance.
Oh, wow.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, would you like to go to the dance?
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, welcome back.
Hey, Bobby.
What's really weird?
What?
It's like... I'm not used to not knowing what you're going to say next, and it's, like, freaking me out.
Well, the spontaneity of the program, that is its driving force, is kind of making you quiver.
Yeah, I was used to that before, but now I'm not. And, you know, they rerun the show on, like, a Thursday, and then again on a Saturday, the same thing again.
It's like when you're watching one of those horrible shows about terrible things happen when good things go bad, you know, on one of those Fox shows.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen, but you still are. But the real spontaneity is if you see it live, like when you see it on Channel 4 out there.
Yeah, satellite.
Sure.
Okay.
And then I listen again. But I love you guys, and I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. Love you, sir.
Have fun.
Bye. All right. Goodbye. All right, I've had about enough feedback. I'm all good and puffed up. How about you, bud?
I feel so puffy.
Feel good about yourself now?
I feel like Puff Daddy.
Listen, we do have a couple of new stations signing on, and give you a brief update on what's happening on that front.
Okay.
That we should have an announcement about our breakup with Westwood One, hopefully by the end of this month.
Yeah, we're trying to get Neil Sedaka to come in and sing.
come on down, doobie-doo, down. Breaking up is hard to do. We are not on yet in Sioux City, Iowa. We are in negotiations with two different stations there right now, so hopefully we should be back there very soon.
Excellent.
We're changing stations in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, really? Are we going to be on live?
Yes.
Ooh.
Now, we may actually already be off the station that we had been on in Denver, so I don't know. There may be a couple of days here where we're not being heard in the Rocky Mountain area. As soon as I find out about that, I'll let you know.
Good.
We were canceled before we left in Burlington, Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're back on in Burlington, Vermont.
Yay. Okay. Good.
So let me see if I can squeeze out this new station.
Okay, I'm actually wearing my winter gloves today, and they're kind of like tan, so I hope it's not too messy.
Oh,
God.
I'm going to push it out, Mike.
I'm going to stand over here.
I'm going back.
And that's my New Year's. I'm not going to get close like I did in 98. Push a little higher.
Oh, here it comes, Mike.
I'm kind of metal tub.
You forgot about this, didn't you? Here it comes, our new station, Mike. Here it comes. Oh, I got the feeling it's a big station. Hey, are those little stations? Are those little satellite stations for us? Where's the whole station?
It's coming, Mike.
It's coming.
Come on now. I'm glad I'm over here.
This is the toughest birth I've had in a while.
Man, oh, man.
Oh, here it comes now.
We're going to have to get a wash tub.
Okay, here comes the transmitter.
Please.
The tower.
All the employees.
That has to hurt.
That's got to hurt.
There it is. Look at that. Look at how messy it is.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Oh. All I need is the name for the station.
It's in Burlington, Vermont.
What should we name it?
Hold on. Beautiful Burlington, Vermont, where I'm sure they're under snow right now.
WEAV.
Weave.
Our new station is Burlington, Vermont, where we were canceled unceremoniously a couple of weeks ago. Remember when the station changed format?
Yeah, went to the country music format.
All of our listeners called the other stations in town.
That was nice.
WEAV, New Hope and Dynamite Show in Burlington, Vermont.
We hope we weave a good year for you.
All right, now, I'm going to try to squeeze out another station.
All right, then now I know where to stand. Try a little harder. Oh, no.
Amazing.
Wow. Guys, I don't even see. I don't even see the station's head.
Ways in there, Mike.
Are you... Try it. Push a little harder.
Quite a signal.
Come on now.
I'm pushing.
It's hard to make.
Oh.
There it is. There's the head.
voice here. We got a breach.
Oh,
man. The legs of the station's tower are upside down.
All right, hold on. Here it comes. Here's a big part of it.
All right, here we go. Try it.
Just his arm.
It's like a tree falling down.
Oh, that's it.
There it is.
Ooh, isn't that beautiful?
I know, it was a tough journey.
Look at that little baby.
York, Pennsylvania.
Oh, boy, all that trouble for York, Pennsylvania.
W-O-Y-K.
Okay.
W-O-Y-K.
Boy,
nope.
Oink.
That's a lot of work for York, Pennsylvania. I hope you folks appreciate that.
Well, they're growing bigger.
Must be.
You got to buy some new underpants now.
That first one was something special.
That's really... Oh, excuse me.
Afterbirth.
Afterbirth right there.
Afterbirth. Who wants the placenta?
There it is.
Over now.
York, Pennsylvania, what's okay. The deal with that?
All right, whew, that's it.
Boy, I'm sweating.
All right, there you go. Two new stations, and we'll have a couple of more new ones coming on, hopefully, before the end of the month, to replace those stations in markets that we had to vacate.
Marvelous.
Okay.
That is marvelous. I forgot completely about those little new tapes that we had.
Hello, Don, on my show.
Hello.
Hello.
Don, could you bring Bart back on? I think it's a nice addition to the show.
Well, he's not Cody Gifford, ma'am.
No, I would hope not. I think that whole situation with Cody and Kathy Lee is pretty disgusting, but...
I mean, I appreciate the fact that you like hearing my kid on the radio, but right now, I mean, as we speak now, he's in school. You know, he's in the 8th grade. I mean, he's got a whole different schedule. Now, he goes to school till like 4 o'clock, and he gets home, and he's got to do stuff after school. He has sports after school. He's got homework and crap to do.
He used to be patient, though. 5 years from now, he's going to be sitting in my chair.
4 years from now, Mike.
Four years from now.
He'll be 14 this year.
All of us ladies will be waiting.
Okay.
And like I said, it was a wonderful addition to the show, and if you can, win him if you can, I think it would be nice to hear him on the radio again.
Well, I like having him on, but, you know, I'm not going to be like Kathy Lee, you know, and parade him out here.
The ladies.
It was to be interested in your son.
It was a different kind of Bart we got at Christmas time, too. It was a mellower Bart. It was a, you know, it was a 13, 14-year-old Bart.
More mature.
Yeah, I got some stuff to tell you about him from vacation, too.
Who's the celebrity that he most resembles?
Oh, me. What do you think? Come on.
Please.
Hello, Don and Mike.
You hear her smack her lips at the end?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a hold of Don and Mike.
This is another lady caller, Mike.
Wow.
Hello there.
Oh.
Hey, hi, lady.
Hi,
Tommy.
Hey,
baby.
I'm an elderly lady, okay?
Really?
Wow.
Baby.
So, I'm so upset. I'm calling from Sacramento.
Yes.
Why are you? I tried to get a hold of our station yesterday to tell me what's going on.
What do you mean, what's going on?
Well, how come they were repeats?
Because we were on vacation.
Well, but we didn't know that.
Well, they should make
an announcement. We didn't know the date, y'all were coming back.
Well, today was the day that we're coming back.
Well, I'm glad you're back. Is this Robe?
Can you speak up a little bit, please?
Is this Robe?
Is this who?
Robe?
Robe what? Hold on, I got a message for you, sweetheart.
Oh, I'm telling you. Well, I've heard that for 42 years.
I bet you have.
Put a cork in it, honey.
What did you say? Put a cork in it?
Yeah.
Are you married? Are you married, gal screamer?
Oh, hey, yes.
Mm-hmm.
42 years.
42 years.
Well, I've heard that, and that's ridiculous.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
How many years?
It's like an old cow horse, okay?
How many years have you been smoking?
Oh, many years.
Many years.
Many years.
God bless you.
Many years.
Listen, baby, sorry that you were unnecessarily upset. I thought that they would be announcing that we'd be back today.
No, and I called the station yesterday, and they just acted like regular dorks.
Well, they're good at that.
Yeah, KCK
mm-hmm.
in Sacramento.
Right, FM.
Effing dorks.
Yeah, really. Who am I talking to, please?
These are the people that are here now. In control.
We're in control now.
Oh, okay. All righty.
All right. Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 5 hours before you have to go out on the front porch and ring the triangle.
Oh, no. I don't do that, honey.
Oh.
Put a cork in it.
Put a cork in it.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Granny.
Bye. Yeah, really.
Okay.
You never turned your little
hearts
on, honey.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, watch out.
What's an old bag like that doing listening to a show like this? I mean, I'm not...
Yeah, hey, listen.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm. You're only as old as you feel.
That's right, exactly.
How old are you? I'm going to guess you're 100.
Oh, no.
How old do you think she is, Mike?
Boy, I don't know. You're only as old as you feel, and I'd really like to feel her before I know how old she is.
Honey, I feel good.
You feel good?
Oh, yeah, I do. Oh,
are you? I think you're thin, right?
Yeah, I am.
Real thin.
Yeah. I got all the curves in the right places.
You think she looks like a grandma in the Playboy cartoon?
I don't think so.
That's are you wearing glasses right now?
Honey, I wear sunglasses.
Sunglasses?
Yeah.
Do you think your boobs look like a couple of sweat socks you put lemons in?
No.
Chuck wagon.
Yeah, really. Hey, honey, you don't know what the world's about.
All right, listen, seriously, how old are you?
You don't want to know.
I'm going to say 65.
You're kidding.
I'm going to stick by my first guess of 100.
100.
Okay.
Buzz,
you
want to play Buzz?
Yes, I do. I'll say 60.
I'm 105, honey. You were off 5 years.
You don't want to give your age to it?
No, I don't mind. I'm 59.
59. All right, Buzz, you were the closest.
Hey,
over.
Listen.
So you went over and said, Don, technically you're right.
Pardon me?
My new New Year's resolution. I'm agreeing more often.
I know it. Well, it was nice talking to you guys, okay?
Nice talking to you.
I've been trying to call you, and I'm telling you, I'll be in hog heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all take care, okay?
All right.
Y'all have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye, sexy.
Bye-bye. Bye, baby.
Old V-squared, Miracle Zanes. There she goes.
Well, that's very nice.
59 years, beautiful.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, Baldy.
So, my name's Vince.
Yeah, it's a good segue, Vince.
Hey, thank you. I thought I'd let people know who I am and shite. Listen.
You're very nervous, aren't you, Vince?
Yeah, because I've tried like 1,000 times, and your lovely intern always hangs up on me.
Calm down. Try not to be funny and just try to relax.
Vince, let me see if I can welcome you to the show.
Listen up, Bob.
I'm a freak.
Put the phone close to your face.
This one's for you, Vince, right here.
Welcome, Vince.
Vincent. So much. I feel like I'm one of you.
Yes, what can we do for you, sir?
Well, I am calling in as the first reformed, now heterosexual person, 99.
You've gone straight.
Yes, I have.
You used to be a homo?
Huh?
You used to be a homo?
Used to be.
Did they have one of those interventions for you? Like, you know that big ad I saw one time where all the people that had converted from homosexuality? And it's like a religious right group, isn't it?
They do that. Yes, there are several groups.
Somebody, like, assist you in your conversion?
No. Well, a friend of mine was sort of good in helping me figure it out and everything. But
So you used to be a fan of a guy's hairy butt, and now you're a fan of a much nicer place.
Oh, I am.
In most cases, Don.
Okay,
there are exceptions.
Like this friend who helped change your mind, male or female?
Oh, he's a male. He's a friend. I'm a Marine. He's a Marine.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
You're a gay Marine?
I was.
I got a salute for all you gay Marines out there. There it is.
I was, but I'm not.
Then why'd you change?
Because it wasn't right for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good way to...
You know who else is a gay Marine? It's Gomer Pyle.
That's right, Shazam.
Gomer's Pyle.
He sounded really funny, but he could sing pretty.
He talked like this.
But sang like this. You are the sunshine of my life.
So listen, Sergeant Vince.
Yes.
How is it that you were gay?
Some other Vince.
In the Marines. And another guy helped you change your ways.
Well, it was just a best friend, and I don't know, it just sort of kept leading me in that direction, and I started seeing things the way that they were supposed to be for me.
Now, were you out of the closet? Isn't that frowned upon
in the Marines, though?
You can't even say that, right, in the Marine Corps?
Right.
You can't, no, but
A lot of people knew. They just didn't care because...
Don't tell policy, right? Isn't that what it's
called? Don't ask, don't tell.
Did you ever get a boner in the shower?
When I was alone, maybe.
Well, but never with the other boys around?
No.
And you're never going back now?
Oh, hell no.
All right. Were you hazed as a Marine? Were you hazed?
No.
All right, well, listen, welcome to our side.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad to be there. Listen, this is what I want to do.
Are you a ranking officer in the Marine Corps? Or
no,
you...
I was enlisted.
You were? Enlisted. So you were in the Marines. You're no longer in the Marines.
Well, I'm a reservist now.
How long have you been a reservist?
Actually, it's pretty recent. I did 4 years active duty.
A salute to all those in the reserves.
Like to point out how he's not answering the question.
What?
You said you did 4 years. Like, how long ago?
4 years? Oh, it was just April. God. I don't everybody know who I am. April of 90,
Yeah, I don't blame you for that.
But listen, this is what I want to do. I want to come to your next Las Vegas style show.
Oh. Someone's saying no.
I'm sorry.
Have a little bit of vino.
I love this new CD. We got it right before Christmas. We didn't have time to hear all of it.
I've heard the whole thing.
No, you haven't heard the whole thing.
No, I have. Oh, I have. I've heard everything you played.
That first one you played, will you be playing that exclusively for Giving Birth to Stations?
Oh, no.
Will you ever be revisiting that particular favorite?
You mean Commodition?
Yes, thank you.
We'll be playing that a lot in the year of 1999.
That would be my favorite.
All right, well, listen, Vince, what do you want, sir?
I want to do the Lewinsky at the next Las Vegas show.
Bye.
Bye.
That was his whole reasoning he was calling. All the other stuff, just throw it out, because that was the reason he was calling.
Straight now.
Hello, down to my show.
What are you, hi? There it is. Come over here.
Ask for it by name. Hello, down to my show.
Hi, he did.
This is down to my. Hold on, speak to my secretary, please. There she is. She'll take a message for you.
She's very good at that.
Is she? Oh, man, right there. Yeah, what do you want? Hi. Oh, I got it.
Oh. Okay. We didn't have time for a visit.
Okay. This is the last call for 1999. No more phone calls for the whole rest of the year. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hi, guys. Great. I saw your picture on the refrigerator.
On King of Queens?
King of Queens.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Good.
Thank you.
Somebody's wearing white pants, right?
That's me, Don. I'm wearing the white shorts, yes.
Looking 15.
I wore white all day, though.
Not after that Komodo show.
And you know what? I know there's a certain percentage of the audience that's really disappointed right now. You think, you know, these guys have been gone for 2.5 weeks, the longest vacation known to man.
This is all they can give us?
Yeah, there it is. Welcome back.
You missed it, didn't you?
All right, goodbye. Listen, let's clear out the telephone lines right now.
Oh, my God.
Take a caller 100, okay? First call in to win of the new year. Caller 100 will give you something that's made partially of plastic and will qualify you to go with us to Miami to Super Bowl XXXIII.
Speckle on down to Miami.
Super Bowl number 33 in Miami at the end of the month. You want to go?
It's Nick Bonacana.
Give us a call at 1-800-636-1067. We'll take caller number 100 right now, and then we're coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The first caller actually is from the U.S. state of Maryland. His name is Stephen. Stephen, go ahead with your question.
Well, my question is this. Saddam Hussein has been challenged because of his honesty about his propagation of weapons of mass destruction, and our president has been questioned on his sense of honesty and his use of public office to cover himself. I personally trust Don and Mike more than these two people.
Professor Karsh, you want to answer that one?
Bringing you comedy more potent than Elvis Presley's stock. Don and Mike.
Okay, remind you, next Tuesday, it's our Elvis birthday show.
Elvis!
Even though his real birthday is like this weekend or something,
right?
Schedules are all screwed up. So next Tuesday, our annual tribute to the birth of Elvis Presley. Next Tuesday, everybody. that way, we say he's the celebrity who keeps on giving, even though he's dead.
That's next Tuesday on the show.
Yay!
The big Elvis birthday show.
Great.
Before we take a caller 100, one thing I did want to mention, we just played the tape of the guy called on CNN.
Yes, right.
And mentioning our names when we were going through the whole thing with Saddam bombing us, or us bombing Saddam, whatever that was, before we went away on vacation. And you know, the last day that we were here before vacation was December the 18th,
right,
a Friday. And the next day, Saturday the 19th, was the day that Clinton was impeached.
That's correct.
Do you know that at our Christmas party, the night before the biggest day in U.S. history in the last 100 years.
That's correct.
CNN anchor guy Bernard Shaw.
He was there.
Walked into the hotel that we were having the WJFK Christmas party at.
Mm-hmm.
Walked up to the bar. And at that point in the evening, I was standing with sports junkie Eric Bickle.
EB from the Sports Junkies.
And EB said, look, here's that guy from CNN. I said, come on, Eric. I'll introduce you to him. I had a couple of glasses of courage. So I just walked right up to Bernard Shaw and I said, hey, Bernie, Don on my show. He shook my hand, didn't know me. I'm sure he doesn't know me from Jeter. I said, you're doing a great job over there. I'd like you to meet my good friend, Mr. Eric Bickle. Eric had that look on his face. He's got his baseball hat on sideways.
A totally dog in the headlights, confused look.
He was so happy. We walked away. He said, I didn't know you knew him. I said, I don't know him. I don't know what the hell on the night before the most important day in American history.
He was doing there.
What Bernard Shaw was doing at our hotel bar at like 11:30.
Seemed to not want to have anything to do with any one of us. And gee, I can really blame him for that. Because we, at that point, I believe the Christmas party for WJFK had spilled up into one of the suites upstairs, and the building was actually physically rocking, which I thought was pretty unique. Very, very festive party.
You would think that a guy like Bernie Shaw, especially on the night before a big impeachment deal, would you know, go home and just get something in any bar at home.
Get some rest.
Yeah, I mean, what was he doing in that tiny little hotel we were all staying at?
I don't know.
It's very strange.
Walked right up to the bar, though.
And I, as I was leaving with my wife, I was yelling in there. I said, the lady that ran the hotel,
right,
was kind of saying, hey, quite a party going on up there. I said, you know, radio people like to have fun, not like those TV people.
Like the biggest a-hole thing I could say, just to get a reaction. He's looking straight ahead.
Yeah.
You
know, I was like, okay, good night. It was so funny, because then the next day I turned on the TV. You know, I had like a ice cube container on the top of my head. I turned on the TV, and I go, that's the man that was at the bar last night.
Bernie!
There he is. That man talking about President Clinton was at the bar last night. Hello, Don on my show.
Hello, am I calling 100?
Hey, yes, you are first. Caller 100 of 19 and 99, and what's your name, sir?
Steve Addick.
Steve, where are you from, Steve?
Thanksburg, Maryland.
Steve, you are caller number 100, and you won a 14-piece chicken dinner from Popeye's.
Oh, man!
By Popeye's on your way home from work with a mouthwatering chicken and delicious side items. Did you say a 14-piece dinner?
Sure that's did, Mike.
That's not for two, is it?
One. That's right, Rob.
Just one.
Rob knows how to eat.
One case.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be back for more. That's courtesy of Popeye's.
I like the dirty rice.
Yeah, this... Bud Wade.
Oh, man.
Bud Wade. Yes, Bud Wade. Bud Wade, dirty rice coming. Bud Wade. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got more to tell you. Bud Wade. Bud Wade.
There's more?
Yes, there's more. You've also qualified to go with us to Miami, Florida. As we broadcast live from Super Bowl XXXIII. Last weekend in January, a trip. Tickets to the game, airfare, hotel, all of it courtesy of Subway.
Great.
Oh, I had your microphone turned down there, sir. So I wasn't able to get that great reaction.
That's great.
Well, that's great.
Okay.
Well, then, hey. Oh, thank you for listening, and I think we're having the drawing for this, like, next Friday.
Cool.
Very excited, because there are so many travel items that have to be worked out in advance that we can't string this all the way up to the end of the month.
Sorry, you're busy down in Miami for the big game.
So please make sure that you listen to the show next Friday.
I will. Can I say one thing?
Yes, sir.
On my way home from work, I was listening to you guys, and you were having birth on one of the new radio stations.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the bathroom and relieve myself.
Yeah.
Well, I had to dip a little bit in the car because I was laughing so hard I was crying.
That's a very nice compliment. You know, it took a while. That's a great compliment.
We take that much more personally than all those other nice calls that we took. It's nice that you're back and we really miss you.
That's it. I can understand. That's about as hard as we've laughed during the show.
I heard all the people calling in. I didn't know what to say. I mean, I called earlier and got hung up on, but that's no problem because you guys are doing
probably. Well, you know, here's the good thing. You beat in your pants, and now you won a prize, and you might be going down to Miami for the Super Bowl.
That's wonderful. We can get no higher compliment than Don and Mike. I peed in my pants.
Absolutely.
Because of your show.
I want to get a T-shirt.
Thank you.
You guys are great.
Thanks for listening. Hold the line, please, sir.
Yeah.
You know, if you combine all the great compliments together, it would go something like this. I was having a terrible day at work. I've just been hating work lately. I turned you guys on. People looked at me from another car because they saw me laughing, and at the time I was laughing, I was actually peeing in my pants.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Beautiful. Yeah, hi, this is Todd. I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Hey, hi, Todd. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, Baldy.
Yeah, I started listening to you guys a little while ago, and I'm driving home, too. I just heard that guy, and I'm driving home from work, and I swear, I almost drove off the road. It was incredibly funny, the noises, everything, and I'm just relieved you guys are back on the air.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun, relieved.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, how you doing?
Those parts are great icebreakers, aren't they?
They're fantastic, and that new one, you know, Commotion.
Cut number 94, Mike, on our CD. Ask for it by name, cut 94.
That is my favorite, right?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is Elrayo X. Just calling to see if you're going to have Jesse Ventura on now that he's governor of Minnesota.
Yeah, I'll just pick up the phone and call him up, because he'll take my call.
He could.
Huzzah.
When are you guys coming back to Austin?
I don't know, sir. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hopefully after we get a new deal, after we leave Westwood One, the Westwood One Network.
And Jesse the Body will visit Austin when he runs for president.
I saw him, I guess it was on C-SPAN one night when we were on vacation. He's a very honest man. He's not the brightest man in the world, but he's very honest. He was discussing why he had to sell coffee mugs and T-shirts. You know, he's like doing all the crap that we won't do.
Sure.
You know, Mike and I get approached by guys all the time saying, listen, if you guys would, like, put your faces on coffee mugs, you guys could make, like, $4 a coffee mug.
Sure.
Because, you know, hey, I drink my coffee with Don and Mike and stuff. And we always say, no, that stuff is beneath us. And we don't want to do T-shirts, we don't want to do satin jackets, we don't want to do coffee mugs. Yet here is the governor of Minnesota on C-SPAN.
Governor of Minnesota.
And he was explaining that since the time he got elected to now, he's had no income source, no way to make money.
And he wants the first lady of Minnesota, his wife, to get a salary because she's going to have to, like, leave her horse ranch or something.
Yeah, biker wife.
Yeah, she's going to have to give up that income for training horses or doing whatever she does. So he wants to give her some money.
It was surreal watching this. At first off, they treat him on C-SPAN like he's a real political type.
Right, he's
right. They got the guy sitting there with his legs crossed in that girly way, the guy that's asking him the questions like on National Peace Theater. He's going down there. Tell me, Governor, the T-shirts, the satin jackets, the coffee mugs.
Well, I gotta make money.
Crack me up.
I have to make my living like everybody else. We're all Minnesotans.
Huzzah. But I tell you, that guy is honest. I heard him saying that.
He's not an idiot as far as the people he's surrounding himself with. He's actually putting together a group of people, like all great idiot politicians. You know, when they surround themselves by the guys that do the nuts and bolts work, you can pull it off.
He was saying, Hulk Hogan, what do you think of Hulk Hogan? They said, Hulk Hogan's a phony.
Right.
He wants to be president because I'm governor. He doesn't have anywhere near the qualification. And then they said, what about Arnold Schwarzenegger? And on the screen, they showed when he was being sworn in on New Year's Day.
Right.
Arnold was there, with his big jingle all the way grin.
Arnold, now with his inflated opinion of himself, now thinks this is his ticket.
But what Jesse Ventura said was, first off, he said, Arnold Schwarzenegger's a good movie actor. He likes money way too much to ever be in politics. He's not qualified to be in politics.
Oh, good for him.
And furthermore, he wasn't born in this country, so he could never be president.
Right.
I mean, he was pretty much dissing him, while at the same time, they were showing him earlier in the day at, at his big swearing-in ceremony, where he was, like, hugging Arnold Schwarzenegger and patting him on the back and everything.
I was watching, they're running some of Jesse Ventura's movies, his incredible film resume. Right.
Predator.
There's one that is like a takeoff on The Exorcist. I'm not sure what it's called, but it had Leslie Nielsen, and he was performing The Exorcism with Linda Blair, who did the cameo, and I guess Jesse Ventura was over on the side, like, offering commentary when Linda Blair had the green makeup and turned into an ice cream cone and was just saying, lick me, lick me. And he was like offering commentary. I said, hey, there's one of Jesse Ventura's finest film credits.
I also caught him in Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
The last Batman movie, the one with, again, with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Mr. Freeze.
Right.
When they bring Mr. Freeze into the asylum, where he's got just a tiny bit of cold air and he can't move out of the cold air,
right.
Jesse Ventura is one of the cops that's standing there going, you can't make it outside. You gotta be here where it's cold, Freeze.
Oh, so glad he's governor because he's given us so much. He really keeps on giving. That's great.
Son of a bitch, you're struggling like an Alabama chick. You're hit. You're bleeding, man. I ain't got time to bleed.
And that's what he was having printed on all these T-shirts that he was selling.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Ain't got time to bleed.
There he is. And I'm bald now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. The name of the movie that Mike was trying to think of is Repossessed.
Repossessed. That's right.
Leslie Nielsen, right. That's great. I forgot. He had some really dirty line. If we can get our hands on it, that's all over cable. It's a good line.
Did you see any pictures of his biker wife who looked like 20 miles of bad road?
With the jet black long shoulder-length hair, like going down halfway down her back?
His whole rap was, he was saying, well, I've been married to the same woman for 22 years, and they had these pictures up on the screen.
Right.
Like, him and her with, like, rotting animal carcasses in the background and skulls and crossbones. And in one of these pictures, she's got the permed-out hair, and she's got on just one, like, a Billy Idol vest. You know what Billy Idol used to wear, like, just a leather vest?
Sure. And that's the big look for biker chicks. And now she is the first lady of Minnesota.
Hello, Donna Meisha. She had, like, three teeth in her head at the time.
I'm here.
Hello.
Kiss me.
Donna Meisha.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, I just had a... you still have Rudy on your show this year, right?
Yes, every year Rudy Martin
will
be on our show.
I want to think on Rudy.
You want to do what on him?
I want to think on Rudy.
Think on him for what?
Didn't you say that he wasn't allowed to do radio talk shows for other stations?
Yeah, generally he's not allowed to, right?
Well, he's going to be on a major show tonight in San Francisco. They're advertising he's going to be on tonight. Rudy Martin.
You gotta love our audience, don't you?
You're really? They'll rat anybody out.
You gotta be the biggest bunch of finks in the world. No, I love that about you. I mean that as a compliment.
No, because I just thought that you're paying them big money, and if I had a person in my employee, I would want to know what my employee, especially when he promised he wouldn't do it last time when he was in the first day.
Is he gonna be on a local station in San Francisco?
Well, it's
a local show, or is it a syndicated show?
Well, no, it's local, yes, but they're also ESPN syndicate.
Well, is it local or national?
It's a local show.
Yeah, but I mean, what, the station is affiliated with ESPN?
That's correct.
So it's a local show he's going on.
It's a sports talk show.
Listen, I really don't care because when Rudy goes on other shows, he's very boring. He's not the same as he is on our show.
Well, I was going to try to get on tonight so I can,
I forgot what the rule was, too, when we convened the kangaroo court. There was some, I know that there were certain shows we didn't want him to go on.
Like the sports page.
That was the show, that's right.
Yeah, page, right.
But I just remember distinctly you say, you're not going to do that again, right?
Well, Rob! You know what, maybe you should call that show.
I'm going to try to get on.
Call them tonight in San Francisco and bust his balls a little bit and then call us back tomorrow.
No, I'm going to put it on a tape recorder and talk about, like, the dog. So just, to get the other side of Mr. Martsky.
That's good, especially if he's trying to be serious, Rudy.
Correct.
And then ask him if he likes Dick, and maybe he'll say,
yeah, I love Dick. Well, that, okay? I'll tape it for now, but I'll put it back on you tomorrow.
All right, well, yeah, please do. I'd like to hear that.
Okay.
I can get myself worked up about something.
I know you
think
can.
About it long enough.
Sure.
Now that I think about it, I think, we do pay that guy a salary.
We do.
He's your employee, and he should be loyal to you guys.
Yes, goddammit, you're right.
Here, here. Give him written permission.
Off with his head.
Written permission should be required.
Yeah.
I think so.
Where's my Tickle Me Rudy doll?
Hey. How about that Carol Crow?
There you go. That's a Tickle Me Rudy.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye. Thanks for ratting him out. Yeah, I think that's the rule. I don't think he's allowed to go on other shows.
I don't remember exactly what the punishment was. But the
I
rule,
think the last time he did something like that, wasn't that when we had both he and Dennis Murphy eating dog food at the same time?
I believe so. We punished Rudy so many times, and we punished Dennis so many times, it's starting to get blurry.
We still owe Dennis one. We still owe Dennis Murphy the horse meat.
Horse meat, if we can find it.
Hello, it's Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hello,
hey,
my
friend.
I knew that was coming. I'm sorry. I should have jumped in there. I knew it, and I should have said something, but I wasn't 1,000% sure.
I just called just to say the F word, right?
Hey, you can always recommend. If anybody ever wants to know what he sounds like, just remember that tone.
Troublemaker. Hello.
Hey, Ben and Mike. Welcome back.
Hey, my friend.
Hey, Don, with the new CD, have you given any thought to the new Barry White tribute?
Barry White's birthday only comes once a year, but you know you... Listen, that CD's going to get a workout next Tuesday for Elvis's birthday show.
A lot of possibilities are endless.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting into that already.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. How's it going? This is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Yes, Dave.
I just wanted to let you know, did you hear on the Monday Night Football game, Al Michaels was coming back from a commercial, and Dan Dierdorf mentioned something about Boston College, and Al Michaels dropped the S-bomb.
Al Michaels said the S word?
Yeah, coming back from the commercial.
How did he, and use the letter, how did he say it?
Oh, he just had no S. Because he was mentioning something.
Was that
about Boston College.
Was that the last Monday night game of the year, the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh? You know what I noticed during that game? They were doing the name game.
Really?
At the end of the game.
Really? Think maybe the boys had a little Christmas party before the telecast?
You know what? I can't remember what it was, but one of them said something blah, 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 and then the other guy said... something blah blah blah, just like us. And then Al Michaels said something like,
"Hey, stream of consciousness. It's the last game of the year. We'll be right back." And you know, I've become comfortable now with the relationship between Boomer Esiason and Dan Dierdorf. I now would be disappointed if they didn't bust on each other during those telecasts, because it's kind of fun to listen to now.
Maybe they did let their guard down. I'd love to have a tape of Al Michaels saying the S word, though.
Hey, no S.
I didn't realize that they were coming back from commercial.
No S. Do you believe in miracles? No S. I heard it when they were talking about running a lineman being able to run a wind sprint or run a 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
And Dan Dierdorf was saying, "I bet that quarterback couldn't run a 100-yard dash. That would be very difficult." And then Boomer came back with something like, "Well, you know, I could beat you in a 100-yard dash." And I waited and waited because it was that direct confrontation. The entire TV viewing audience is waiting for the response. And all Dierdorf came back with was, "Yes. You probably could beat me in a 100-yard dash."
You know, I'm reading Boomer Esiason's book right now.
Oh, really?
My wife got me this book for Christmas called Tossed by Boomer Esiason. And I'm sure when she bought it, she thought it was like the standard athlete writes a book about his life. But
is that the one that's got the picture of him standing over the commode, curling?
No.
No, okay, no. Right. I guess that was the old cover for the Toss.
Once I started to read the book, I realized it's fiction.
Right.
It's dirty as hell.
Really?
And it's very well written. And then you see a very small print on the back cover that there's a ghostwriter.
Okay.
So, like, Boomer Esiason told this guy to write a bunch of mystery novels and stuff, like inside stuff about the NFL.
Sure.
But it's, like, totally not written by Boomer Esiason, because it's got all this stuff about, like, girls taking their tops off.
Really?
How beautiful this girl's breasts are.
So is it based around football? Is it
a fictional New York City NFL team.
Very good.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a little truth there in those fiction pages, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff about race and stuff. Bunch of really cool stuff. I'm sure Boomer Esiason had nothing to do with it.
Highly controversial.
That's a good book, man.
You don't think he could put pen to paper and put that out himself? I asked that.
No.
They all do, don't they? All the professional athletes have to have the ghostwriter.
Yeah, but this wasn't like one of those books. Like, when I won the Heisman Trophy, right, I was so proud. This is like, she walked in the room and
her Titanic arms,
a fun flesh, ruby red nipples.
By Boomer Esiason.
Hello. I'll bring that book in this week, and I'll read you part of it.
So it's really a little nasty.
Highly erotic.
Very good.
The book is called Toss.
Toss.
My album.
By Boomer. It's a picture of him in prison blues.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Don and Mike? Glad to have you back.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say on Al Michaels saying the S word, also on ABC when they had the one of the bowl games, coach for Texas A&M said it and just kept on going about it on the air, and They said it was a Freudian slip, but it was kind of funny to hear it go twice that week on ABC. Let it slip by twice.
Never. Hey, did you see the last Keith Jackson game when he said F-U-F ball?
Yeah, the Bob Greasy, right? There. F-U-F ball.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Keith Jackson, signing off. F-U-F ball.
Oh, he made me laugh so much he just ran into the microphone.
The Crimson Tide of Alabama. There we go. F-U-F-R.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey, Lefer.
Hey, Bobby.
Keith Jackson.
Hello, this is Keith Jackson. Looks like it's going to be a super effing game today, so you better have your effing playing shoes on today.
F-R. Oh, Nelly, you greasy sea sucker.
Yes, sir, real excited about this game. Almost excited as when I'm thinking about tickle bitties. This is Keith Jackson of ABC.
Here you see.
Oh, Nelly, and I'd like to say to all the people at ABC, from Keith Jackson to you, a big F you, and your families too. So long. It's been a great ride.
Oh.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, buddy.
Dad, you guys are hilarious. I'm just thrilled to have you guys.
Does Keith Jackson say hi to all the hippie drunks out there? Oh, Nelly, all you hippie drunks.
Oh, Nelly, we're in dangerous territory now. We don't do this game real well. Very dangerous. Oh, F. Everybody at ABC. Especially those guys that went on strike. What a bunch of effers.
Hello.
When I see it, it's a fun.
I win the loss, sir.
Just too much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for participating.
Right. See you later. Listen, you know, we haven't even talked about our vacations yet.
No.
I haven't mentioned the fact that I went skiing and once again injured myself wearing a knee brace today.
One of those big old knee braces. It's Siri from that Nebraska Cornhuskers injury.
I also, that's the celebrities, of course, because we go out there to Colorado.
That's where they all are at that time of the year, and I'm dying to know that because I don't even know that. You never tell me in the offices you want to tell me on the air.
I met three really big celebrities.
Ooh.
One of them, I just said hello to as he walked by.
Okay.
The other one,
I did more on vacation than just watch movies in the hotel room.
Good.
Let me tell you this first. I know it's about Christmas. I got to get this out. I told you before we went away up to my in-laws for Christmas that my wife's family's going to do this thing this year with the swapping Santa.
Yeah.
Where you get
very excited about it.
Oh, and it was worse than I had predicted it could be.
Yeah.
There are 40 of us sitting around the tree, my brother-in-law's house. Two separate rounds of Secret Santa.
What is the total time commitment to this endeavor?
6 hours.
Oh,
that is horrible.
It's easy.
6 hours just for the exchanging of gifts. Because my wife's family, God bless them, they can't just say, listen, they used to do it like this. You pull out a name. You go, hey, I picked out Mike's name. I'll buy Mike a present.
Secret Santa.
Then you would say, Mike, here's your gift. And you'd say, thank you very much.
That's what my wife's family does. And, I think maybe 40 minutes or so, something like that.
Well, not my wife's family. They got to make it complicated. First, like, there's a first round.
Okay.
The first round is for gifts $5 and less.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, you get real crap gifts for $5.
Of course you do. Inflation has prohibited anyone from getting a good gift for under $5.
And there are three categories. There's male, female, and multigender.
Okay.
So nobody specifically buys gifts for a specific individual.
Right.
That would result in somebody maybe getting something they
really wanted. Right.
So there's two separate rounds. And they're both basically the same thing, except the first round, the gifts are worth $5 or less. And the second round, it's $25.
Sounds like Mark Goodson and Bill Podman ought to be hanging around.
Listen, and they get so crazy about this that they don't know the rules before they start.
Oh, yeah.
So there's 40 people gathered around the Christmas tree. This is like the week before Christmas. And you've got to stand up. First, everybody's got to pick a number to decide who gets to pick their gift when.
So there is every chance that when you pick your number, you could get a female gift.
No. There's enough gifts that there are male, female, and in-between to go through everybody in the room.
Okay, so
there are males and females, and those that would be good for both men and women.
Ah, so you get the choice of male gifts or men and women gifts.
Right. Mm. So first thing you got to do is go around the room with a hat and pick out your numbers. You get your number for the first round and your number for the second round.
Are you allowed to have a cocktail while this is going on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. You didn't have enough, though. So they get the numbers, and then it starts. Where, like, somebody takes a gift from the mail pile, and as it turns out, I'll give you, for instance, the first gift was, like, some gourmet coffees and a travel mug.
Okay.
Pretty nice gift. You know, for $5 or less, that's like...
That's somebody who worked hard to get the most for their $5, it sounds like.
Well, this is a gift that everybody wanted,
of course.
So after the first person opens it up, the next guy stands up and he says, well, I'm going to steal that from you, meaning that the first person that had the coffee has to give it to the second person, and then the first person goes back and gets another gift.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm not going to pretend that I'm getting intrigued by this, but
well,
at this stage, and I'm sure 6 hours, you're ready to shoot people, but at this stage, sounds like a little fun.
The problem is they didn't make any rules on how many times something could be stolen.
Oh, dear.
So what would happen was, like, 7 gifts into it, every time someone went up to get a gift, let me know if I'm not explaining this correctly.
No, I think I understand what you're saying.
It took 20 minutes, because someone would stand up and they'd say, okay, I'm number 15, I want the coffee. So he'd go over and take the coffee. Then everybody in turn, the coffee guy would say, I want the gummy bears. And he'd go over and take it from the gummy bears.
Now, does he have a choice of getting a new gift or getting something that's already been opened?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
But at this point, the gifts that are left are like, there's only 3 or 4 gifts left.
So if you're the last one to pick,
you get the
choice of everything.
Anything you want.
Oh,
now, because this is happening every single time,
right?
Because nobody can just take a goddamn present and open it and say, you know, that's nice. It's a $10 gift certificate for Home Depot.
Right.
With every
gift, every time one of the 40 people picks, you get a total swap meet.
Right. Every single time.
Everybody.
So after this happened for maybe 90 minutes, I said something. I said, listen, this is ridiculous. We're going to be here all day doing this for a bunch of crap gifts.
Hey, and I'm sure you weren't voted down with that one, were you?
Ah, my wife came through.
Did she really?
Really.
Did she support you in this one and say, hey, you're right, honey, this is taking too much time?
You know, Frida's the big organizer, so right. She stands up in the middle of all of this mass hysteria. It's like, have you seen those pictures of Baghdad, like where they have the open-air markets and stuff?
Right.
This is what it's like in my brother-in-law's living room.
Everybody brings their gifts in carts.
My wife stands up and she says, we gotta have a rule. There can only be 3 trades. Once an item is traded 3 times, it cannot be traded anymore. And then it's like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. People arguing about it. No, I want 5 trades.
The fingerprints on that coffee mug must have been just incredible.
Well, now the 3 times, does it count? The first person that picks it up, then someone steals it, then someone else steals it. Is that where it stops, or can it be traded a third time past the first time where the guy originally picked it up? Aye, 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 easy.
You can't buy a shotgun for under $5.
No, you can't. You can't buy a BB gun for under $5. So it takes over 3 hours to go through the first round.
Now, why is it only the... I would think it would be over after the first round.
No, the first round is for the gifts $5 and below.
Then they're better gifts?
Then the second round is for gifts $25 and below.
Oh.
So the first round was supposed to be just like a whet-your-appetite round.
Right, real quick and stuff, but no, people got into it.
It lasted during the whole Redskins game, okay? The Redskins-Tampa Bay game from 4 o'clock till 7 o'clock. How long it took us to get through the first round?
That's evil.
Second round... My wife again stands up and says, okay, ground rules this time, ground rules. This time, 3 swap limit.
Uh-huh. And now, is there anyone that challenges your wife's authority?
Her whole family challenges.
Okay, all right, just curious.
It's like, well, she's standing up there being this big mouth about this, and her brothers and sisters yelling at her and saying, no, we want 4, no, we want 3, we want 5, we want 2, we want,
all right.
Oh, what a bunch of crap this is. So anyway, they finally made the decision that it was 3.
Right.
That it was 3 trades. Well, here was the flying on the ointment for the second round.
How many gifts does every individual have to purchase? Just one?
Two,
one $25 and one $5. Okay.
And then everybody leaves with a $25 and a $5.
Ah.
It would be so much easier if everybody just went up and just picked out a $25 or a $5. You'd be done with it in 5 minutes.
Unwrapped.
Yeah, that would be the best. That would be the best.
You just save another step. You just get everybody, like, rent a bus and take everybody to the mall.
Well, by the time that we were, and I'm not exaggerating this, 5 hours into this.
Oh, that's horrible.
By this time, it is 8 o'clock at night, and we are only halfway through the second round. Well, by this point, I got a little competitive, okay? And there was a gift that I had wanted.
Are you going to let us in on it?
Mike, I don't even remember what it was now. For whatever reason, it's like I was getting madder and madder and madder. It was the day after the Christmas party, okay?
Right? Oh, yeah.
So I was a little hungover day to begin with, right?
Yeah.
We had a nice 4-hour drive up there.
Right.
And then it's like all day with the whole family and the screaming and yelling about the presents. So there was, it's my turn to pick, and I saw that there's something I wanted, and so I reach over and I take it. Well, I don't remember exactly how this went, but Trina and I circumvented the rules,
yeah,
because then when it was her turn to pick, she
picked what I wanted, mm-hmm. and everybody stood up and said, no, 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 that's not fair. That's not within the rules. You can't do that because it's within your family. It has to be three times only, not three times within the family.
A little too much day at this point, I think.
Yes. And it was at that point that I just lost it. I said, I don't care. I don't care.
Right.
I will take...
But this is your one moment where you wanted to have a little fun with it after sitting basically, well, somewhat basically through the entire process.
Right. So finally, there's something I want. My wife and I think that we figured a way around the rules. As soon as we did that, her whole family gets all uptight and mad.
She's here.
Right. She got very mad at us. So finally I said, screw it.
Right.
I just sat there and pouted for the last hour. Just sat on the couch and pouted. I don't care what I get. Home Depot. Fantastic. Yeah, that was one of the gifts, like a $25 gift certificate to Home Depot.
Oh, you go nuts at $25 at Home Depot.
Because you're handy, you're good.
If you're handy, you know your way around the products.
Well, I don't.
Well, I could, I'd take you in there.
Yeah.
You could go out with a basket of stuff from Home Depot.
So anyway,
is that the one you wanted?
No.
No?
No, that wasn't the one I wanted. The one that I wanted involved... Christ, I don't even remember now.
Gift certificates, though, in that environment, that's kind of a cop-out, too.
Trying gift certificates. Maybe it was Amazon.com that I wanted. Like,
okay.
The books on the internet.
All right.
Or maybe it was Outback Steakhouse gift certificates. I don't know. There was a couple of good. Whatever it was, it was something good that I really, after 4 hours aside, and I had to have.
And that's the whole idea of it, right? You get that one thing that you really want, and can you finagle to get it?
And I ended up not getting it.
And you can't be the only member of your family who got irritated with this process.
No, they love it.
They still love it.
They love it.
Even after this year.
I mean, like, I'm the supreme martyr because I'm sitting there pouting about this thing. This is a waste of time. They all are looking at me like, hey, you're crazy,
man. Are the little kids involved in this, too?
The little kids, they cannot even stay focused on little kids.
Yeah, I would think that would be
playing video games and doing everything else. You're not even there.
Mm. All right. Well,
call in if you're out there, honey. Because I need to talk to you. And fortunately,
$25 gives you a nice bottle of champagne, too.
Yeah. Fortunately, at the end of all of this, where everybody was really ready to physically kill each other over these worthless gifts,
right.
Thank goodness at that moment, my sister-in-law got proposed to.
Oh!
Right, her boyfriend asked her to marry him.
Well, congratulations. Did she accept?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
She did.
You don't offer congratulations.
Yeah. Right.
Unless somebody accepts the proposal, that's the important
thing. So that was like the big icebreaker. That mm-hmm. made everything okay. There's been a lot of tension, a lot of hostility in the air.
That's a lot of time spent and, kind of weird.
A big waste. And for really crappy gifts. I wouldn't mind haggling if it was good stuff.
Or making the competition more of a competition, where perhaps a question was asked before you can get making it more like a Jeopardy or something like that.
I was
where you can do and make it quicker and like you have to compete for your gift.
I was forced to play one of those games. How someone is always given a game at Christmas?
Of course.
The game that someone got, as a matter of fact, in the Secret Santa Swamp was a game called Gestures.
Gestures,
right? Not gestures. Gestures.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's kind of like charades.
Hey, where are you? I bet I can guess your gesture. Here you go, family.
Let's go
to, I think, your little Santa game.
I don't like playing games like that to begin with.
I know you don't.
But they all.
Your wife loves it.
She loves. Her whole family loves it. They thrive on it. So we followed that up with a great two rounds of gestures.
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 Did you win at Gestures?
I was on the winning team. I was on the winning team. But Gestures is a perfect example of one of those Christmas gifts that someone gets, and you open it up and go, hey, this looks like a fun game, and you play it on Christmas Eve, and then you know what you do? You put it in the back of your closet, and then never open it up again.
It's the sea.
Because it's a retarded gift,
Gestures.
Let's play Gestures. The only time that the game had any promise mm-hmm. was when my niece, Beth, got to play.
What was her gesture?
Okay. She had a choice of two words.
Right.
The word that was worth 4 points, mm-hmm. which she didn't select, was nipple.
Oh.
Now, that would have been a great one to see her play out charade-like.
Now, is it you're only given one gesture to convey the word?
No, you're given four cards,
okay?
And on these four cards, there's a two-point word, a real easy word, and a four-point word, which is a much harder word.
And you have to, 4 points, you have to communicate non-verbally to your team the word that
you turn the knob and this click 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 thing is like an egg timer,
right?
You have like 30 seconds to get all four of them.
Okay
so it's like you go click 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 click, and then when it goes ding, then you have to move on to the second word.
Pass on nipple.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, she passed on that.
You would have worked so hard arranging the cards. That's easy, too. It's easy to communicate that.
It was just a big CF. It was a total CF. It was a CF Christmas. That's what it was. The whole thing just stunk on ice. Too much family, too much togetherness, too much Secret Santa, too much game playing.
Merry Crimble.
Merry, very Crimble. But then we made it through Christmas, okay?
That's good. That's good.
We made it through Christmas fine. We're going to go out to Colorado. Mm-hmm. We're going to do our skiing.
That's something always to look forward to. I know you love going out there.
It's the one trip out of the year that I really love going on. We go to a real swank, real shishy place.
You love it more than Kathy Lee loves it, I think.
Oh, it's close to where she's at. She is out there.
She's out there during the holidays, too. Just one of these days, I hope you two can get together.
Okay, three celebrities that I saw out there.
But I've been waiting for this.
Okay. In Colorado, in Beaver Creek, Colorado, the celebrity that I saw... That I said hello to.
I was going
to
play a guessing game with the celebrities.
Okay,
always,
if you want.
I always enjoy. I do like to enjoy the games.
Okay, here's the first celebrity. Now, I saw this guy walking around with a posse.
Okay, but being an entourage.
A posse. And I actually walked up to him and said hello.
Okay.
And I felt like an idiot then because it was like, he doesn't know me from Joe Blow. I was like Mr. Hanger On, but I walked up and said hello to him.
All right.
Old or young? Young.
Musical artist or movie or TV star?
Yes to all three.
Really?
Ooh.
Man or woman?
Yes.
Oh! Man or woman.
It's, he's a man. They're all men.
Men?
All men.
Black or white? Or Hispanic?
Yes.
No, all right, come on now.
Oh, come on. You're going to...
Let me see.
I'll give you one more question. One more question. Yes. I've already told you, he's a movie star, TV star, recording star.
All right.
Had a posse around him, and he's young.
Okay. You didn't answer the black, white, Hispanic question.
You want me to answer that? Yes. Last one?
No, is that the only... I get one more answer to that.
One? No.
Oh, you said that I get one more question.
No, come on, Secret Santa. One more question.
Okay, one more question.
Do you want to play the race card?
Yes, I do want to play the race card.
Black.
Will Smith.
Yes.
Whoa!
You nailed it.
Will Smith would be good at these games.
And Will Smith is correct.
And did you log any conversation with
him? I walked right through his posse. He walked right and said, hey, man, how you doing? He looked at me. I've got that way. I know I've done this before, that if you walk up to somewhere, you walk in somewhere, and you act like you belong,
right?
People don't question you. He walked into the hotel lobby, and he had, I am not exaggerating, 30 people around him.
Right.
I walked right through the start of the whole group. People, hey, Will Smith. How you doing? Hey, how you doing, man?
I bet he would strike me as a guy to be a good guy, a nice guy.
And then he immediately turned and walked away.
He immediately walked away from
me.
You know, you could get the opposite, too, where he said, you know, who are you? Excuse me, I don't know. But that's cool that he was a good guy.
No, he was nice.
All right.
Okay, then the second celebrity,
mm-hmm.
who I had a longer meeting with,
all right.
on a ski lift.
Okay, this is the guy
who was a total... Dick.
You have a conversation with him, which is a good, like, at least 3-4 minutes of...
8 minutes, Mike.
8 minutes?
8 minutes on the Centennial ski lift. It takes 8 minutes to get to the top of the mountain.
And he was a jerk, so you...
He was a total dickhead.
Old or young?
Old.
Movie star?
Yes.
Wow.
Huge star? Not really.
Okay, not really. Oh, now it's tough. Boy.
I'll give you some extra questions.
Okay, extra questions. You said old.
Yes, old.
And would he fall into the has-been category?
You could classify him as a has-been.
All right. And when he was in his heyday,
yes,
was he in movies?
Yes. Exclusively in movies.
Exclusively in films.
Exclusively. He's been in some movies that we like.
Really?
Yes.
Dramas or comedies?
Dramas.
He's a dramatic actor?
Thinks he is.
Dramas.
And I can tell you, if we spent 8 minutes on the list with him, guy didn't have a funny bone in his body.
Really?
Yes.
Have we ever had him on the show?
No.
Mm. Never. All right, this is tough. This is tough for me, because I was going to say Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston.
Is that old? Exclusively right. Movies?
Not as old as Charlton Heston.
Not as old as Charlton Heston.
I'll give you one more clue.
Was he a bit of a sex symbol in his day? Was he known as a bit of a sex symbol?
I don't think so.
You don't think so because you hate him, or you don't think so because legitimately?
I don't think so because legitimately I don't think women find him sexy.
Okay.
He's more a man's man type. And he was in a mobster movie.
Oh, okay.
That's the last clue I'll give you. And when you hear the name, you're going to know how excited I was to be standing there. And he walked over to get on the list, and he said to me, can we ride up together? And I said, are you kidding? Yes. Let's do it.
Short or tall?
Not as tall as me. Medium height.
Recent mobster movie or old mobster?
Old mobster movie.
Oh, but a good one. Oh, All right, now there's only one that I can think of. The Godfather.
Yes. Fat?
No.
One more question. Then I got to blow the lid off the biggest dick in Colorado.
Was it James Caan?
Yes, it was James Caan.
Very good.
Yes, it was James Caan.
Oh, and I'm not surprised at all that he copped it, too.
Total dick. At 1.70, would you mind not speaking?
We're
on the ski lift.
Really?
Now, keep in mind, I wasn't saying a lot to the guy. He said, we're standing there in the singles line, right? And he said, would you mind if we shared the lift? And I said, no, certainly not. We got on the lift. I said, hey, I'm a big fan of you.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Right? So then we went up another minute or so in silence, and I said, Love You the Godfather, Brian's song. I said, I even remember the movie you were in, Thief. It was like this unknown movie.
Right.
I said, you're real good, Nate.
Yeah.
Thanks. Then he answered his cell phone. Talked on his cell phone for a couple of minutes, and then I said to him, this is what really threw him off the edge. And I said, wow, that's a nice looking phone. He had one of those little tiny phones. He said, would you mind if we didn't speak?
And I said,
oh, what a, that's like the, that's a dick.
And, hey, no problem.
Oh, man.
So we sat in silence.
What a jerk.
We sat in silence for
would
the last.
Would you mind if we don't speak?
The last 4 minutes, all the way up to the top of the lift, James Caan and I did not speak. And talk about a guy that wants to be seen wearing a bright yellow, bright canary suit.
Of course.
You know, a suit that said, look at me, look at me, look at me, I'm James Caan.
Would you mind if we don't speak?
But he's sharing a chairlift with you, you know, which is normally when you have a nice conversation with people.
Right, and I was kissing his ass.
What a name.
I'm a big fan and everything.
Oh, man.
Not surprised.
Jimmy Caan.
All right, let's do a break here.
And I can tell you about the celebrity that I met that was nice. And I'll
Sonny Corleone was a weem.
And I'll tell you about my horrific accident. I even brought the medical
papers. Okay.
Quick break, we're coming.
Right.
For years, he's kept a secret, and now Rudy Marsky is out of the closet.
I like Dick. I mean, I most of the time.
He's open, he's proud, and he's telling everyone.
Yeah, I love Dick.
Rudy Marsky, out of the closet and looking for company.
You like Dick?
Rudy Marsky, sharing his secrets with lots of detail.
Come on, kiss him up the top of his head.
Rudy Marsky, out of the closet and out in the open. He's not the same old Rudy anymore.
Yeah, I love Dick.
Yeah, Rudy, we know. God damn it. Right, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, let me do this chronologically, okay?
All right.
What happens next is my tragic injury.
That's why you have the knee brace on now?
Yes, and then I met celebrity number three.
Ah.
And his family in the hot tub.
As you were recuperating.
Which I found out was an awful thing to do, to go on a hot tub when you hurt your leg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the doctor told me it was a bad thing to do.
So anyway, we're out there skiing.
Yeah, the best thing to do when it starts to hurt is to ice the area.
That is...
I think you're making a joke, but
this is what Jane Fonda said.
Yeah. Okay. So we are skiing, and I am not the world's best skier, but I can ski blues, which is like the intermediate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's greens that are easy, blues that are hard, and blacks.
Black diamonds.
Black diamonds are very tough.
Mm-hmm.
I always found myself feeling weird, like when I was around people, and I say like, oh, those blacks are killing.
You have to be very careful where you say that. It could be misconstrued.
A couple of times I said, oh, those effing blacks. I really did.
Diamond. It's like, hey, keep it down, pal. You just say that. I mean, is that the way it's in skiing parlance? Is it said, you know, you don't put the diamond at the end of it? You simply say the blacks?
That's what I say. There's the greens and blues and blacks. So I've been on mainly greens the whole time. And then on some blues. And I've done pretty well. By my standards, by my very low standards, I'm Jean-Claude Keeley or whoever that
guy
is.
There, blues are, you know, like, you know, back east, I think the black diamonds are like blues are out in Colorado.
But they had gotten no snow, and it was very icy, and a big pussy when it comes to going on the various runs that I hadn't been on before.
Right.
Like, you know what we did? You know we talked about those walkie-talkies that we had that we forgot to bring to the Christmas party to talk to each other?
Right. Yeah, we used them on our vacation.
Here's what we would do. I would send Frida and Bart down like a blue.
Right.
I would be at the top of the hill, and I'd say, go to the bottom and tell me if I can make it. Tell me if it's too tough for me.
Okay.
And if it's too tough, then I'll go like a backwards way to go on green.
Right.
So I would be...
didn't you have the two guys waiting with a toboggan?
It was too tough for you. It didn't carry me like it did the ice cream sundaes in what's that place where they would bring the sundaes out like, and they would have like a cot?
Sure, like brought out like Cleopatra when you brought out.
It's not TGI Fridays. It's not Benegas. What's the name of the ice cream?
Farrell's here in Washington.
Farrell's ice cream party.
The famous ice cream party.
Where, where all the guys would have on straw hats.
Right. And the striped shirts.
Barbershop quartet outfits, and they come out and go, it's your birthday, it's your birthday, it's your birthday.
They carry it out.
A big-ass hot foot Sunday. So I'm standing up at the top of these hills, and I go, Roger, can I make it over? And there's your back. We're not at the bottom yet. Over, I'll let you know. And this is the way that we did it all day long. And my wife
not a stupid thing to do.
My wife would say, you know, you can make it. There's a little ice around the third turn. Take the right-hand side. So this is how we're going all day long. And by the third day, the three of us, Frieda, Bart, and me, skiing, having a great time.
Right.
The third day was this. She said, today we're going to go on these easy greens that she and Bart had been on the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So we got off the lift, and I'm full of confidence, and... we start skiing down this little path, and it's nothing, man. Oh, is this her right now? Hello?
Hey, boo-boo.
Hi, honey.
Well, I was just going to call you up and say I'm glad you're back at work.
I'm glad to be back at work, too. I know what you mean.
You've been hanging around a little too much.
Hey, honey.
The neighbor thought you'd been fired. What?
What was the gift that we ended up going in cahoots on and getting your family all mad at us during the second round of the stupid Secret Santa contest?
Well, no, I didn't get the ear thermometer because you wouldn't let me get it.
Ear thermometer. This is what my wife wants. You know that's
a nice gift. Sure.
A Christmas gift, an ear thermometer?
I mean, the way that you and Bart are always taking your temperature, that would be great.
But if we're talking about that price range, that would be something where I would be more intrigued than the coffee mug.
Right.
But that was the $5 tier, right?
Yeah, that was the $5 was the coffee mug and...
Oh, my gosh, got an awful cold.
Yeah.
So you need that ear thermometer.
Yeah.
Well, you got told you can just go buy an ear thermometer. I mean, it's Christmas. Get a pick of exotic.
I could buy all my gifts, but that takes away the fun of the game.
What
do you want? A new car? Of course you could buy any of the things in there.
Would that be the thing that we ended up going in cahoots on? Was that what the second round was all about?
No, but I got that... I got the soap dispenser in the first round, which was a coup.
Soap dispenser.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yes,
I had to negotiate after the game, so it was a little post-game negotiation that I wouldn't buy somebody an expensive present if they would fork over the good present from the first round.
And I described it accurately, didn't I, when I said that you got up about three quarters of the way through the first round and you stood up in the middle of everybody, started screaming at your family. You started saying, we got to make some rules, we got to have rules.
You didn't describe it. I don't scream, Boo. I was just talking. I was taking charge. I was being a leader.
Screaming. screaming being a relative term, but
we were trying to organize that.
There was a large din. There was a big, loud, everybody's going, hey, we want this gift. And my wife steps in, hey, open this one.
Do you remember any other examples besides the ear thermometer, Frieda? Because I'm curious.
For the second game?
Yeah, for the second round.
At one point, I had the George Foreman fryer that got swiped.
Oh, my. Oh,
see, now we're talking. One. These are well thought out, I mean, compared to some of the stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the coffee mug was a little, but that was the
$5. For the $5 round, that was the golden egg.
Then what we did, I remember what we contributed to the big game. We gave gift certificates to Amazon.com and to Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, and I was trying to get the gifts that we had given.
See,
you know what he was doing? I got to rat him out here. He was talking like he'd like a gift certificate to Outback Steakhouse. So in a way, you're selling your own gifts that you're
selling. That's a tacky move. That's not tacky. We bought the best gifts. Who would you rather have, like an ear thermometer, a soap dispenser, $25 at Amazon.com?
None of the above. I go with the George Foreman fryer.
Yeah.
You know how I love that stuff.
The soap dispenser was on the first cheat game, and there was more than one Outback Steakhouse gift certificate, as it turned out. So you could have taken that and not, humiliated yourself by taking your own gift.
I had
the same great idea.
I wouldn't have been humiliated. Anyway, would you agree that that was a horrible, horrible failure?
It was a big success. It was a big success and almost as much fun as playing like a big game with my whole family.
I mentioned we played basketball.
I know. Well, yes, you don't like. And, you know, if you don't like, you have to find some other Scrooge family to hang out with on Christmas.
I did everything.
Yeah, and you did it, and you did it very nicely and very happily. And you were one of the best players and guesters. And I hate to rat you out, but you were good.
Well, it was a simple game. What is the dog barking
at? I think there's a fight over a bubble.
The dog is seconding that emotion.
All right, cut it out, guys. I'm taking the rawhide bone. If you can't
All right, honey.
What?
Listen, as long as you're online, tell me, describe this injury. I was just saying that we've been on these hills, and you have been nice, and then you go to the bottom, and you talk to me on the walkie-talkie. You say, you can make it down this hill. We get to this one hill, and it's a green, so it's the easiest kind of all.
Right.
We start down this hill, and it's like, no problem, man. Right. Three of us skiing together, happy family time. All of a sudden, there are all these bumps.
Moguls.
Look like Tommy Lee Jones' face.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
There are all these moguls.
You got to know what you're doing there. You got to negotiate them.
Yeah, they shouldn't have been there.
I didn't know what they were doing there. Huge bumps.
Green is like intermediate. They shouldn't be on
green.
Green is easy. Easy beginner. Oh,
green's
wow.
The easiest.
So, yeah, and see, I asked some people about moguls, and what happens is, you know, they don't plan the moguls. They told me, one of the people that worked at a resort told me that skiers just make them. And because there had been so little snow and people going down and just crisscrossing a certain way, they created all these moguls on this green slope.
So we go over the top of this hill, over the crest of the hill, and I've got a pretty good rate of speed. I got some false confidence.
Right.
I can run an easy one. My wife,
right.
She did this the day before. All of a sudden, there's all these bumps and all these hills, and I go straight up in the air, and before you know it, I mean, I come down, and I lose both poles,
right.
Both skis splayed out.
Play that other sound effect.
Which one?
The one that you played when you gave birth.
Oh. There it is. Are you okay, sir? You look like you had a rather tough fall. Oh, dear. Was it that bad?
I didn't poop my pants.
Did he poop himself?
You know, when we're on vacation, I don't do laundry, so I don't know.
Yeah, I do the laundry when we're on vacation. I go to the laundry room and do it.
That's very nice of you to do that. So I'm laying on my back. I go, oh, Christ, I hurt myself. I really hurt myself again. And, you know, there was a guy there, a ski instructor, who thought he ran into me.
He knew he didn't run into you, but he came. He was skiing close to you, and he thought he confused you and upset you.
And I thought that later I should have said, "Yeah, you did run into me." Yeah. That would have been a good out, you know.
Yeah,
also, like
yeah,
free skiing,
yeah. Lawsuit City. But I, you know, I said to the guy, "No, I didn't even see you, man."
Because he was jumping the moguls and enjoying them right next to you, and I thought he had kind of scared you too.
Not terrified, like I was. So I go up in the air, and I got through it. I went, "Oh, F." I mean, I know loud could be reverberate through the mountain,
right?
There was an avalanche.
And then I come down, and right away all the ski patrol guys come over, and they do that thing where they put my skis up in front of me, like to tell everybody else coming down the hill, hey, we got a retard here. Watch out for this guy. And I'm laying there, and he's going, did you hear anything pop? Did you hear anything break? I said, no. Things are fine. So I got up. We kept skiing the whole rest of the day.
Right.
We go down to the bottom of the mountain. I went down at Puff Blue, made it to the bottom, said I feel a little bad, got up the next day, went to the hospital, and right here, Mike, is a picture of the knee. And as you can see, here's the medial collateral ligaments.
That's the one that you lose that one in football, you're pretty much toast for a career.
This is on the inside of the knee. There are...
That's the one that the football players blow out all the time.
That's right. There are seven ligaments in there, and I ripped out four of them.
Ooh. Including the medial collateral?
There are seven that attach to the medial collateral.
Okay.
So out of the seven, I ripped out four of them.
Okay. Ouch.
And I have the complete tear through the ligament. There can be a moderate to large amount of bleeding into the joint. The joint is unstable and requires surgical repair.
So you didn't rip your medial, you didn't tear your medial collateral.
Not all the way out.
Oh, you're
four out of the seven.
Wow.
Four out of the seven?
I was kidding. I was joking. I know nothing about any of that.
So, you know, just a big pain in the ass. And they did that thing where they drained my knee, where they put a big horse needle in there.
Well, I remember you've had surgery on your knee before, and I said, was it the same knee? And then you told me, no, it's the other knee.
The other one, because I'm so lucky and stuff.
And you don't want to give up skiing.
No, I love skiing.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. So, anyway, this kind of screwed up our vacation because we were not going to leave until Sunday.
Right.
And this happened to me on a Wednesday.
Did they say that by continuing to ski on it, that that probably screwed it up a little bit more?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but they were surprised you could do it.
Yeah. And I told my wife, I said, you know, it doesn't hurt when I ski. I mean, it hurt when I walked, but it didn't hurt when I ski.
When you bent it back to that position, probably. That's right. How you got you.
So they put me in this big brace, and they drained it and all this other crap. And then, like, the last day that we were there, I was not the most positive person.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because Frieda and Bart, you know, they went out skiing.
We had our best day, yeah.
What a great time.
We had a great dad.
I'm sitting there with a book by the fireplace. You know, going,
it takes a while to go down the hill.
How many ski vacations have you spent in the lodge?
Third time.
Oh, no.
You know, he's a trooper, Frieda. He keeps going out there with you.
I think you know, I'm all for athletics, but I think maybe a different sport would be wise.
So then we decided, you know what? I'm just being so curmudgeon-y that we will just scrap the rest of the vacation and come home. We were supposed to come home on Sunday.
Right.
Instead, we came home on Friday. So what this meant was that Thursday night, which was last Thursday night was New Year's Eve, we had had reservations at a very fancy restaurant. We had had all these plans.
All of which you can't cancel.
Oh, a beautiful night that we were going to have. Well, as it turns out, they were expecting snow. And so what we had to do was make the decision if we were going to drive to Denver on New Year's Eve to make sure that we could catch the plane on New Year's morning, or if we were going to wait and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on New Year's morning and try to drive through the snow to get to Denver.
What'd you do?
Well, we went. We had New Year's Eve at the Denver Airport Embassy Suite.
Well, that's kind of sad.
And it was, without a doubt, the crappiest, worst New Year's Eve we've ever had. We didn't have champagne.
Oh, no.
We didn't have room service.
We didn't have beer. We didn't have Jack.
We didn't even have room service.
Oh, we had room service.
That's what we had. When we got to the hotel, there was a huge party going on.
Oh, really?
I mean, I thought at an airport on New Year's Eve, I thought it would be dead.
Any hotel, right?
We could not find a parking spot in the embassy suite.
Right. It was just like out in the middle of nowhere, too.
Yes, airport. 12 miles from the airport.
Yep.
In the middle of nowhere. We get there. We go up to the room. We go to room service. Crappy room service. We're watching, like, Veronica's Closet.
That's sad.
And Frieda and I ended up going to bed, like, at 10 o'clock.
Wow.
Marty stayed up by himself to watch the ball drop.
Yeah. Watch the ball drop, watch Jay Leno or something like that.
Yeah. And then we got up the next morning at, like, 6 a.m. and went over to the airport.
Yeah, he watched David Letterman, so he said he got to watch the ball drop twice.
Yeah, that's true. They were all doing, the networks were doing a lot of live stuff. It was kind of cool.
Well, it was, like, the worst New Year's Eve we've ever had. We spent, like, from 5 o'clock till 8 o'clock driving from Beaver Creek to the Denver airport.
We were smart to leave before the weather hit.
Yeah, as it turns out, it was a smart move to make.
Yeah, we would have had to spend the night in the airport on Sunday if we had left on Sunday.
Oh, man, with the rest of the free world.
Yeah.
So that's it. Honey, I got to go. I love you.
Oh, all right. Goodbye, sweetie.
All right, goodbye. See you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, am I glad to be out of that house.
And how's the knee doing now? How is the knee feeling?
Fine.
Good.
Absolutely fine. The last thing I got to tell you about, the last celebrity that I met.
Now, this is your favorite celebrity out of all of them.
Let me do a break. We'll come right back.
Okay, we'll play the guessing game again?
Play the guessing game.
Very good.
This was a celebrity that was nice to me. After I hurt my knee, I went back to the hotel, and I got in a hot tub,
right?
It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's nobody else in the hotel. This celebrity came down to the hot tub with his family, and I spent 45 minutes, an hour, chatting with him and his family.
Excellent.
Okay.
Made up for the James Caan being an idiot to you.
Right. Listen, while we're doing a break here. Oh, and then we're not done yet. Because I happen to know that the O'Mara's spent at least part of their Christmas in Atlantic City.
Yes. Very exciting. Yes, I am. I'm the Players Club. It's the playing lifestyle that I enjoy so much.
Hey, you know, the Spiewacks are in Germany for Christmas.
Spiewacks were in Germany. Lots of world traveling going on.
We'll hear about that also. There were the toe tapping touch tone.
All right.
Let's do a caller 100 right now. And good luck to you at 1-800-636-1067. You will get something that comes from a dead animal.
Yeah.
The meat of a dead animal. And we'll qualify you to win a trip to the Super Bowl with us. Caller 100
right now. This is the Dawn and Life Show. Sports 1140 KACJ, Sacramento's sports station.
It's going to be my weekend off. A new
got me out of you dragging your heavy ass through the burning desert with your dreadlocks sticking out the back of my pasture. You gotta come down here with an attitude, acting all big and bad. And what the hell is that drum?
They're the hair and the teeth in the comedy tumor. Don and Mike.
Yeah, we try. Call it 100 right now. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, what is up?
Bobby, who's this?
This is Freddie in Red Bluff, California.
Freddie, you are caller 100, my friend.
Awesome. My fingers have missed this toe-tapping touchstone stuff for a couple weeks. This is awesome.
You have won 14 pieces of chicken from Popeye's. Stop by Popeye's on your way home from work for some mouth-watering chicken. That is such a fine prize. And delicious side items.
Yeah, like dirty rice. Try the dirty rice. It's great.
I love you.
Oh, it's fantastic.
One taste and you'll be back for more.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Courtesy Popeye's.
Dirty rice is my favorite. And the red beans and rice.
But wait, there's more. You've also qualified. You've also qualified to go with us to the Super Bowl this month.
Hey, I got to go. I
got
to go.
They've got Popeye's in Miami.
Cool.
We broadcast live from Miami on the Friday before the Super Bowl. And we'd love to bring you with us. Trip courtesy of Subway Subs. We're giving it away next Friday on the show. So make sure you're listening next Friday.
Oh, you got it, man. Thanks
beautiful.
A lot.
Thank you. Hold the line.
Yeah, baby.
Okay. Okay. Last thing from the vacation I want to tell you about.
Yes. Now, this is the guessing game with celebrities. You had a...
Does that have anything to do with a celebrity? Absolutely not. Okay, so I have hurt myself.
You go to the hot tub, you're recuperating from your knee injury on the slopes, and it's in the afternoon, and you're in the hot tub at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and this celebrity is there with his family.
Comes by with his wife, and with... Maybe he has more than one kid, but this was, at that time, just one kid.
Mm-hmm. 30-year-old kid?
No.
Little kid, okay.
Guy couldn't have been nicer.
All right. Movie star?
Kind of.
TV?
Kind of.
TV kind of. Comedian?
No.
Dramatic actor?
Not really.
But a personality?
Yeah.
A television personality?
He's got his own show.
Is it a game show?
You're not playing Buzz.
Okay.
But no, he doesn't have a game show, Buzz.
So it's a talk show?
No.
He's got his own show?
Yes.
His own television program?
Yes. I'm going to give you five more questions.
All right. He's got his own television program. Is it a comedy or drama?
Comedy.
Four. His own show. John Lithgow.
Three.
All right. I had a hunch. I had a hunch on that for a second. Well, I'm thinking of you in a hot tub with John Lithgow.
Excuse me, my feet. Mr. Lithgow. Mr. Lithgow.
Oh, my. Third rock from the sun.
Three more to go.
Does the television show have his name?
No. Two more.
And it's a comedy. You said it's a comedy.
Yeah. Yep.
And I have two more questions.
Two more questions.
What network is it on?
ABC. Last question.
It doesn't have his name on it.
Nope.
And it's a comedy.
Yep.
Boy, I'm drawing blanks here. I'm drawing blanks. Well, I see one more question.
One more question.
Old or young?
Youngish.
Youngish. Okay.
Now I need a guess.
All right, hold on a second.
Need a guess. I'll give you a second.
Oh, yeah. Easy to concentrate now with that. ABC. Doesn't have his name on it. Comedy.
I'm just playing those.
There are no comedies on ABC besides the Jim Carrey show.
I'll give you one more. As a way of the musical time here. Was it... Oh, yeah, I couldn't hear you.
Was it Tim Allen?
No.
Oh.
Yes, there is. Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
Wow. Who was the nicest guy in the world.
Was his wife in the hot tub, too?
She sure was.
Oh, my God.
Sure was, with her buds a-bursting.
Wow.
Wow. So he came down, and he said, hey, is anybody using this? And I said, nobody besides me.
Mm-hmm.
And he took off his robe and his little Michael J. Fox swimsuit.
Wow.
And he sat down, and I thought I handled it real good because I didn't say anything about, like, shaking hands or Muhammad Ali, right?
He's been so public with that battle that he's got with Parkinson's.
With the Parkinson's disease.
And he's got amazing. I mean, I you know, right now, that's amazing that you bumped into him because he's probably on the top of everyone's mind because of those revelations.
Real nice guy. Got in the hot tub, starts talking to me. Listen, here's a couple of things here that crack me up. First off, we're talking about football and junk like that.
He's a fantasy football player.
He is.
Right.
And he mentioned that they call him Doug Flutie on his show because people think he looks like Doug Flutie.
Right.
So we're talking about that and blah, blah, blah. And he says, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm in the radio business, right? And he said, no, come on, what do you do? I said, well, I got a radio show. The other guy got a radio show. He says, what's the name of the show? I said, you never heard of it. Trust me, you never heard of it. He goes, no, come on, tell me. What's the name of the show? And I said, it's the Don and Mike show. And he said, hey. You know what? And I said, what? He says, I never heard of it. Really, totally set me up on
that. That's cool. That's funny.
So he's like, the whole time, he was being very nice with me, but also kind of guarded.
Right?
Yeah, of course. Like, you know, he said to me at one point, have you seen anybody else around here today? And I said, no, you know, everybody's out skiing. Uh-huh. You know, I just hurt my leg. He said, well, good, we just arrived, and we're trying to keep it kind of low-key. And his kid says, little boy, says, I saw a room right up there. And he pointed right up to the sixth floor where there's this big, huge place with a big-ass balcony and everything.
Sure.
And I said to the kid, I said, really? Is that your room? And he said, yeah, 618. And then Michael J. Fox came and said, you're going to forget that, right?
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Absolutely.
But he couldn't have been nicer.
And the last thing he said to me on the way out, swear to God, on the way out, we'll get out of the pool. And he said, hey. Toenail fungus, huh? And I said, yeah. And he said, take a look at this. Yeah, toenail fungus, too.
You got it, too.
That was the last thing.
Man.
He was like, look at my feet.
Not surprised he's a nice guy.
I'm surprised. Very nice guy.
I'm frankly surprised you stayed in the hot tub with him, though.
Why?
Canadian.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot that.
He is. Yeah.
Well-known Canadian.
I forgot that. All right, I'll do a reset from my memory.
That's a block it all out.
God, listen, the guy was butt nice, and I'm talking about 45 minutes.
That's very cool.
That's great.
And his wife, he is married to quite a handsome woman.
Nice piece of ass.
Oh,
she sure
beautiful
is.
Lady.
She sure is. So they said this thing about toe fungus. He said, look, I got it too. So we stood there and looked at his feet. He was looking at my feet, and then he said, last thing he said to me, thanks for being normal with us.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you for being normal with me. And I tried to...
You tried to hide the state of arousal that you were in as you were limping back to your room.
Put the towel in front of me. He's like, good to see that. Like, big old boner.
You know, we're out on the slopes. Martin Frieder out on the slopes. There's a man, like, in a swimsuit, steam coming off his buttocks, running up the ski slope to tell his wife.
So I immediately run up to the room, and the first thing he did, he's going to walkie-talkie. You know, Michael J. Fox is going to be keep it low-key out of here.
Right.
The first thing he did, come in, Frieder, Bart, Come here. Michael J. Fox is in our hotel. Room number 618. Hello, come in. I get some other guys. We've been using this frequency for the last 5 days. Would you find another frequency, please?
Hey, did you see him again after that, or was that him?
Yeah. Never saw him again.
Probably, he was probably pretty sequestered after.
Although I said to the guy at the front desk when we were checking out, I said, hey, have you seen Michael J. Fox around? And he said, well, Michael J. Fox is not in this hotel.
Ah,
I said,
sure.
Yeah, right, he's not.
No.
Sixth floor. He said, sixth floor is condominium, sir. And I said, mm-hmm. See you later, buddy.
Oh, knowing wink.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
He was a very nice guy.
And it's cool that he was nice to you, too.
So I talked with him a lot, and James Conn is a dick, and Will Smith, I was just like a big fan.
Just got to wait for his hand.
Said hello to him, and he's like, look at me, like, get this guy away from me. Now, a quick break, we'll come back. I do want to hear what happened to you on your holiday. Well, come on, you got some stuff, don't
well,
you?
Well, yeah, I got some stuff, but I mean, you know, kind of pales in comparison to everybody else's now, you know. I had the most boring Christmas vacation I've ever had.
You went to Atlantic City.
Yeah. In the wintertime, you know.
I didn't even know, you know, I didn't even know that.
Yes.
It wasn't until, I guess, Christmas week that Frieda said to me, well, you think Mike and Laura are in a casino right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why would Mike and Laura be in the casino? I said, because they went to Atlantic City. I said, well, he never said anything to me about it.
Well, you know, the first night was great, but the second night, you know, my 3-year-old, my 1-year-old, they start complaining about the fact that they have to sleep out in the lobby. You know? And I'm like, Daddy's got to gamble a little bit more. Stop whining. I mean, you know, they're going to get up anyway in 2 hours. It was about 4 a.m. So we were far away from that part of the
strip. CD part of Atlantic City.
They call it the strip, and we stayed at a nice little
place close by. About we're probably about 20, 25 minutes away from all that stuff because I didn't want to have, you know, them anywhere near that. But during the day, you know, you realize you're in the outskirts of, you know,
Atlantic City, New Jersey,
right, where it's always gray. That's on the sign when you come in to that part of Jersey. They say, hey, welcome to Atlantic City, where it's always gray.
Okay, time out. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Jeremy Coleman speaking for the Don and Mike Show and asking, are you ready for some football? The Don and Mike Show is giving away a super VIP trip for two to Super Bowl XXXIII. The prize includes airfare from D.C. to Miami, Florida, lounge transportation, superior accommodation, lots of goodies, and, of course, tickets to the big game. Just listen to the Don and Mike Show to qualify. And one lucky stiff wins the trip to the Super Bowl. They're provided by Subway. Subway has seven subs with 6 grams of fat or less. Subway, the way a sandwich should be. And it's all courtesy of the radio team that has great penetration, the Don and Mike Show. This is Jeremy Coleman speaking.
I don't get it.
Hey, guess what? It's the Don and Mike Show.
Next Tuesday on the show. It's the big Elvis birthday show.
Ah, yes, where we celebrate the memory of the king of rock and roll.
As only we can. Still a lot of people like to tape our Elvis shows. We only do two of them a year, when Elvis is born and when he died.
That's correct.
So it's next Tuesday, the big Elvis is born show.
More information on the king than you've ever heard, and the right kind of information.
Sure. And are you reading the book now, Rob? There's a new book out. We're going to have the author in studio next week. The good stuff, the kind of stuff we like?
It's kind of level, but we're not to the fat Elvis part yet, so he still could come out.
And there are a few nuggets in there, right, from this guy?
Yeah, we love, if we could tell the story of Elvis, I think universally, wouldn't we start at the fat, purpley bloated Elvis?
We would, but also we do enjoy the story of Elvis in the Memphis Mafia when he would, you know, the Elvis who would shut down the entire department store.
Oh, yeah.
The Elvis,
Scatter the Monkey.
The Elvis that we would all be if we could.
The story starts with Scatter.
Scatter, that's right.
Scatter the Monkey that froze in Elvis's backyard.
Yeah. Shooting the flash bulbs in the pool.
next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday, the big Elvis is Born show.
Yay.
And I hope that very soon, like in the next couple of minutes, we'll have the final information for you about our first Las Vegas-style show of 1999.
I am ready.
Mm-hmm. We got one coming up in this month of January.
Very exciting.
And I hope that somebody in the back room gets me the information so we can announce that to you very shortly.
Come on there, Tim.
And the gift here, we got a trip to the Super Bowl. We're going to be giving that away, so you can go down to Miami with us as we broadcast live from Super Bowl XXXIII.
January is a very busy month on the show.
Okay. Your vacation?
You know, my vacation was very mellow, although I did include a trip to Atlantic City. That would be the most exciting time. I had a New Year's Day brunch party where I had about 50 people that I cooked for, and I had them over to the house.
Yeah.
But, you know, all in all, I didn't go anywhere far. And I went to a lot of malls, and yes, it would be true that I did have an occasional moment to...
I was planning that for your party.
To chat quietly with my friends. you know, the thing, and that's what I refer to it as, it's chatting quietly with my friends. Sometimes it gets a little louder, but we had a... I guess I'll go backwards, because I'll start with what I remember, because that's the only way I'll be able to successfully tell you what happened. We had a New Year's Day party, because my folks used to always have a party on New Year's Day, and they did that because they didn't like to go out on New Year's Eve, because they thought that it was a crazy night to go out, and they never wanted to be around it. Laura and I have never really gotten into going out on New Year's Eve. We usually, even if we're, you know, in some hotel somewhere, we'll stay in the hotel room. We don't go out on New Year's Eve, so we just stay home. We said, well, if we're going to do this, we still like to, you know, have a good time and party a lot, so why don't we do it and have a party at the house on New Year's Day? And this was kind of a last-minute thing where we decided to get the invitations out real quick, and we did it. And it turned out that everybody that we invited, the week before, I was saying, you know, when you put RSVP on something, you would think that people would respond. But, you know, I don't know. What do? Do I buy food for 5 people? Do I buy food for 50 people?
Everybody showed?
Everybody showed. Everybody showed. Everybody except our doctor. And he was the one we could have used there. The
insult to my doctor.
Our doctor? He did not post, but I was
the only I could have seen what was happening. I was saying something about it.
I was crying, too, especially at the end of the party. I was like,
why couldn't that doctor come? Why couldn't that doctor be there? He's the only one that didn't show up. I want a doctor to be here.
Dr. Detroit. Dr. Detroit was, I spent the entire day, New Year's Eve, probably 12 to 13 hours cooking because I made the food. Laura made the beef dish for everybody. I cooked.
Really?
Yeah, I tell you, there was a lot of that the day after New Year's because of my wonderful food. I made a lobster stew that people would kill for,
sure.
That people would die for. It was fantastic, and I cooked all day, but... Here, have a second helping. Come on now. Would you like some, would you like a roll with that? Please pass the cornbread. That's good eating. That is delicious. But it was good. It was a great, it was a wonderful party, very successful. The one thing I realized is that when you don't put the closing hour on an invitation like that,
people just dance.
Well, I mean, I didn't care. I mean, I was happy about that. We averaged that the total party length, The party started at 12 noon on New Year's Day. The last people left about 10:30, quarter of 11.
And that's why when I have some people over my house, mm-hmm. I always give the announced time.
Right.
When I say, everybody's welcome to my house,
sure,
y'all got to be out by this set time.
But I'll tell you, I didn't mind, because after I realized when you have that many people over, when you realize that it is successful and that everybody's enjoying the food you made and that there's enough of food and drink to go around for everybody, once you realize that, I became... it was time for me to blow off a little.
A participant.
It was time for me to relax and enjoy myself, and things going along the lines of,
you know what? I think I should be the president of the homeowners association.
Oh no!
I really think I should. That's it. Here's what I do. Let me tell you what I do.
And by the time everybody left, it was just a very good day. But I took the better part of the end of our vacation. That would be Saturday, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday. I think I'm pretty much back to normal today. I think I'm a
four-day recoup.
Well, you know that Bailey's Irish cream that they it's meant to be served like as an after-dinner drink or perhaps even over a little ice cream. It's nice and gentle liqueur. Right. You're not supposed to drink it like it's the main sustenance that you have. And I realized that, when I woke up the following day, that I was, my tummy was upset. And it was one of that stuff that I drank. Mm-hmm. Isn't that all the sugar and cream and all that stuff?
That is the only drink that I had when we were on vacation.
It's a great drink during the holidays because it's very, but it's rich and
Christmassy.
It's Christmassy and it's flavorful, and it was very popular because there's an O'Mara's Irish cream that they make that they sell at Price Club too. It doesn't have the EA, it has the A. It's O'MARA, and people have given that to us before. We went through that too, and that's not the same quality, but pretty close. So I drank that for what reason I don't know, and it just stayed with me, but it was a very successful party. We had a great time.
Who was last to leave?
Oh, me. No, I don't remember exactly who was crazy as it may seem. I don't have a real strong memory of the last individuals to leave. They were, everybody. It was one of. I get. I'm buying the champagne so I can make people a little
That's nice.
Mimosa thing. So I'm doing it in this first class away. But I'm such an idiot. I've never purchased champagne in recent memory. So I get the thing up to the counter at Price Club, and I see $24.95. And I figured $24.95 was for the case of champagne. So I get out there. Oh, no, I didn't know, because I've seen bottles of champagne for like $7.
Right.
$8.
Quality stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're buying it in quality.
I'm going to show it into the sip.
Yeah, all right. I understand. And I get it up to the counter. And here's what ticks me off. I'm buying meat. I'm buying vegetables. I'm buying dessert. I'm buying beer. I'm soft drinks. I've got one of those, those carts.
The big push carts.
The big push carts that have the metal on the bottom.
Yeah.
And that's all. And I've got
the money metal carts.
The money metal carts. And it is stacked with stuff. I'm looking at what seriously will be the greatest purchase that I have ever, the most significant purchase I've ever made in all of my trips to Price Clubs. And I've come close to setting some records there. But this, I know, it's just going to be overwhelming. And so I had taken one of the little wooden boxes that they put the top quality wine that they put out in Price Club.
Yeah.
And I had to put the wine that I bought in, and I asked the lady, I said, I'm going to use this box because it's empty now, and I'm just going to put the bottles that I have here and just bring them. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? I mean, I'll return it
I'll return. You know, I can hardly move this car, and I've got so much stuff on. She finally said, okay, I think that would be all right. Okay, so I won't, you know, hit the trip wire that's going to alert the Price Club security, so they're going to have to shoot me, gun me down like a dog in the street. So I get the wooden thing up, and he's going, and the guy's got a tooth. I mean, normally I get along well with these people at Price Club, but this guy's got a smirky kind of like that. Yeah, seems like quite an expensive party. Like, yeah, okay, just ring it up. Just total it up right now.
Happy New Year.
I'm really, but the guy is really just picking me up. And I'm also uptight because I'm realizing that this is adding, you know, we had to buy these little dishes to serve the food in. I don't know what they call them. You use them at parties.
Plates?
Good guess. No, not plates. We have those, and we use chinette. Because I'm sorry, I don't run a hotel, and my guests, I got 50 people coming to my house, they're not all going to get their own shiny plate. And I'm not going to rent plates. They're going to eat off chinette.
Good for you. Rent plates.
Well, you can rent anything.
Can you rent plates?
Sure, you can rent anything for a party. The things that have where you... You put sterno underneath the plates. There's a name for them. And then you
pots?
Lift up. No. If you put
pans. Sterno.
They're fondue dishes. Somebody help me here. You lift up the metal chafing
right.
dishes.
Chafing dishes.
Chafing dishes.
Oh, why didn't you say?
Chafing dishes. Are big bucks. They're very expensive.
You buy them?
Yes, I bought them.
How many did you buy?
I bought three chafing, three dishes, three chafing dishes.
You'll never use them again.
Well, probably not. Now I'll figure out an excuse to have them.
But they have the food in Denny's in chafing dishes.
Well, like at the breakfast buffet.
This was nicer than the buffet at Denny's.
I'm not saying it wasn't nicer.
You needed them to keep the food hot.
I
was going to serve to the people. And then we had to buy a crock pot to keep the soup that I made. I made a great soup. Lobster soup. If you've never had that, you would love this. You would absolutely love it.
You like lobster, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I mean, I love it.
It was great. It was, and so I get all this stuff. The total is astronomical. It's like double what I expected it would be. And that's when the guy, you know, goes, must be an expensive party. And I'm ticked because I'd like, you know, I know it's Price Club, but for whatever reason, I know this is not the average purchase in Price Club, and I would like just a little appreciation for my business. Just a little modicum, you know, with his little back support, smock on. I just like him to look at me and just kind of say, hey, we really appreciate. But no, because there's 7 million people that work there.
And why do all
a rat's butt about me?
Why do all those guys that like just work at the counters?
Right.
Why do they all have those back support things that you see guys that like move refrigerators
so
around?
Tighten his butt a little bit more. That's why he's got the thing now. Because he had that and he's like smirky and I'm kind of thinking, wow, I'm very proud of the fact that look at the business, because I've worked all afternoon getting this, amassing this merchandise, and at that moment, he says, expensive party. Like that, I'm sitting there, Jesus, you're not telling me, you're kidding me here, whatever. At that very moment, one of the slackers, one of the attitudes in training, comes up and slides up next to me and says, you can't keep that box, sir. And it's that wine box that I'm not even gonna use. It was sitting on the metal cart. They'd already transferred
the money metal cart.
The mountain of stuff to the other money metal cart. I'm not even going near it. And the guy comes up in front of four people like I'm some kind of criminal. Like, you can't remove that box from the store, sir. And at that moment I didn't want to use language because I'm trying not to. That's my New Year's Eve.
Good effing luck with that.
That's, you know, I'm just in public, I'm going to try it because I did it in Atlantic City, too. I used public profanity. And remember when
everybody does that.
Well, you remember when I got the hams, though? And I told the guy that it was a cluster F.
Yeah.
And he got all upset with me. And that, you know, I'm just saying, obviously, people, when I use that kind of language, they don't like it. So I refrained from doing that. But my attitude was, like, look at this pile of food I have. So I wheeled my cart out. We had had a little ice.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, and I had the choice to make whether I wheel my cart of stuff up to the gate of the Price Club and all the way to my car. But I had, you know, and chafing dishes in there. You know, people, you know, everybody's having holiday parties. Those would be easy things to walk off with. And I didn't trust any of the slackers.
Who doesn't want a nice chafing dish?
You got that right. That's for sure. And those would be sticky finger territory. That'd be good. Going home in somebody else's SUV. That's what would happen. So I actually had to go out on the ice covered gun. They didn't salt it properly. So I'm kind of like spinning my wheels. I get the stuff in and it was great for the party. But that was it. That was my little trip. And I just want to say, Price Club, a little appreciation. Like the guy that I bought my tux, the hemorrhoidal tissue pad from,
yeah.
That guy
always a nice smile, always a nice attitude, you know, because we had that moment there where he knew I was trying to hide those, and so everybody wouldn't see him. You know, this is months ago. He still remembers me. You know, he'll look at me as I'm going through the line. He'll go, "Hey, Mike." I'm like, "Hi, how you doing?" He's like, "Any tucks today?" And we share a laugh for it. You know, he busts my chops about it, but it's a moment. Didn't get that. You know, it wasn't me. It
like more like him.
Yeah, exactly. So I had a very nice, and then in Atlantic City, as we go backwards, we went down and we went in during the evening. We had a babysitter for our children, and we would, the evening really, the vacation would start at about 8:30 because the kids were both down sleeping. We had a babysitter.
Adult time.
We would take a cab ride.
Casino time.
Baby.
Let's go. High roller time. Let's go to the video poker machine.
Here we come right now. And the first night was great. We had a real good time. We had a nice dinner. I won a little bit, which is good. The second night, we had a terrible dinner. I lost. Not good. Not bad, hopefully. Not badly, hopefully. I lost a little badly. I did what I do, which is like the dumbest thing you do. When I'm at a blackjack table and I'm betting a little bit to last a long time, if I lose, and in this case I lost six hands, and Rob, you gamble, you know what I'm talking about. Six hands of blackjack in a row, one right after the other, with a dealer that's going, "Dealer has 8, 16, 21. Like, so this happens once, and then it's the same thing where the dealer never broke, never changed the expression.
Like in Vegas Vacation.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just getting furious. You know, it's like, "Dealer has 21. Six times in a row. So after the sixth time, in my idiot brain, I take my little stash of chips, and I put a big, huge pile of chips there, thinking I'm going to, and I hear my wife, who's sitting next to me, she likes hanging out and just watching. She doesn't participate. And I hear, "Oh, God." And I said, no, this is the way it works. Dealer has 16. Dealer has 17 with an ace. 21. And at that point, I go, "F." And I stand up, and they fill out a little card for you so you get credit for your gambling, so you, like, get a free meal in the coffee shop.
Because you lost so much money.
Yeah, well, I didn't have time. And, I mean, I lost, but it was, you know, they didn't have time to get my information. So as I'm walking by, the pit boss who writes all this information down, he says, "Sir, your card." And I'm like, "F the card! F the card!" And then my wife was mad at me because, see, I walk out and I storm out. Well, she's left sitting there, and it was a terrible thing to do to her, and it was a bad idea. But then I really had to eat a lot of crow, because, I mean, it was very embarrassing, and I shouldn't have done it. So I promised her that the next night would be good, and the next night was good. We had a nice dinner, and those were our three real vacation nights in Atlantic City.
Christmas in Atlantic City.
On my pathetic vacation. That was it. And Christmas was wonderful. You know, I'm very mellow. The family came over. We didn't do all that stuff that you did, but I'm not giving it some serious thoughts.
It's crap, man.
I'm going to, you know, hire like 30 other people to come over too, just so we can have the gifts. So, but it was Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and that is my New Year's resolution, that I'm going to try to be less demonstrative with my anger.
Who wants those side bets on that?
Hey, all right, chill.
Who wants a side bet on that?
Just right chill, all you. All right, epic.
That's my guy.
Happy New Year.
Okay, quick break.
Happy road rage, everybody.
Then we'll be right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
Better than Ben. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now, let me see if I can straighten out some stuff here.
All right.
Very quickly, I know that we went on today at a new station in York, Pennsylvania. We will re-sign. We're back on in Burlington, Vermont. We've been canned there a couple of weeks ago. We got a new station there.
We got a lot of fans of the show up there. That's a good thing.
And then we got a couple of stations in Sioux City that are bidding for the show.
Good.
And we hope to be back on at Sioux City, Iowa within the next couple of days. And then I said that we had dropped our station in Denver and we were getting a new station in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is why Western One's such a great network.
Right.
Now I hear that information is not correct.
Okay, so we are still on Ralph?
I think. Is that true or not?
Charlie Broyhill.
Hey, the first appearance in 1999 of Mr. Charlie Broyhill.
Second.
Remember he was here before with the Y2K stickers?
Oh, that's correct. That's right.
I can't believe I didn't remember.
Welcome in. Yeah.
Give it up for Down syndrome, Charlie Boyle.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Anybody watch that show, Just Shoot Me?
Yeah,
occasionally. I thought of you last night, Charlie, because there was a guy on, here's the plot of the show. One of the guys on that magazine had a brother who they thought was retarded. You ever watch Mr. Show on HBO?
Yes.
Okay. The guy on Mr. Show with the glasses, he was pretending to be retarded.
Thought he was a little challenged and everybody believed him.
So that his family would, like, wait on him and he didn't have to get a job or anything.
Right.
And he would say, like, me want to go outside.
Right.
Me want money. And then when his family left the room, they said to the girl with the big boobs, wow, those are huge boobs. How you doing? Hey, this is all a big act. I'm not really slow on the head or anything. The point is, I thought of you when I saw that girl.
There you go. You know, I knew that's where it was going, and I'm glad it was going there.
So, Charlie.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Denver.
We're still on
route. Minnesota. Yes.
No, we're not playing word association.
Denver, Colorado. We're still on that station or not?
We are.
We're not going to a new station.
No.
Okay. Well, where did that come from? Somebody told me that.
Yeah, I had originally heard that the show was being dropped from there. And
from Ralph?
From Ralph. And I made some calls to find out, and it's not true.
Okay, good.
All right, good. Well, then that's a good thing. But I'd love to be on there live. That would be
That's
good.
What I had heard, but not happening there.
We get, can you tell how much communication we do get from that work here at the old show? We really get the constant feedback. And
I got some good news from the network. They fired Amy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, well, she came in and said she had another job. So they said,
so they fired her.
Get your hands out of here.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
We don't need your likes around here anymore.
Great. She was one of the people that did a total half-assed job of trying to sell our show.
Yeah, and it's nice to know that the turnover rate is slowing down at Westwood One also.
Yeah, we can't wait to get out of there. Can't wait to break that deal with them. Hey, Robbie?
Yeah?
Hold on. Step up to the guest microphone, please.
Robbie had the most exotic vacation of all of us.
Yeah. Rob Spiewak spent Christmas in Germany.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Germany! Voice the toilet!
You know, at the Christmas party on the 18th of December, which now seems like years ago.
I know it seems like the 60s.
When my wife left, because she had to go pick up Bart, who was at a sleepover party, as soon as she left, Rob had like to look at me as his prey all night. And as soon as Frieda left, he came over and he said, buddy,
it's me and you now, buddy.
He does. He waits for that moment.
Because my wife was already in Europe, and so it was Don and I being single guys.
And you were looking for a partner in crime.
Exactly.
So I found it very weird to think the next day, you know, when I was waking up and feeling pretty sickly and pretty hungover and pretty crappy, thinking that at the same time as I was laying there in bed feeling crappy, you were on an airplane on your way to Paris.
When I woke up, I got a wake-up call, and not only had I had, like, 2.5 beers, but I also smoked a cigarette the night before.
Right.
And when I answered the phone, I jumped because I heard a voice that wasn't mine, and I could have sworn there was someone in bed with me. But it was just such abuse to my throat and not enough time to heal, but luckily I got to the airport quickly to start drinking again.
I think you had more fun at the company Christmas party than any other individual.
Based
on everybody I saw there, you were having a serious good time.
He was singing to such an extent where at one point I said to my wife, I said, you know something? This could be the night that he has the fatal heart attack.
Well, it would have been all right.
Did you? You know, I know you were kind of like matching Rob as far as the fun level, but at one point, Rob, your cheeks were the color of rubies.
The color of my vest. I wanted to match.
You were a happy guy. Yeah,
it was a good party, and we all had a really good time.
So. You're a good date, Rob.
I told you I could guarantee a second base. So, I would like to do a shout if I could. Shout out to Dr. Reiner Stumpf.
Dr. Reiner Stumpf.
Dr. Reiner Stumpf.
Dr. Stumpf, jawohl.
Hello, I was hungry.
Of Altenkirchen, Germany, where I had the pleasure of spending Christmas Eve with.
Really? You spent Christmas Eve with Dr. Mengele? What was his name?
Dr. Reiner Stumpf.
Reiner Stumpf.
It was a family that Carrie had been in an exchange student program with and like 15 years ago, and they put us up for a night. And Carrie went out with some of her friends, and I was just going to go to sleep. And he came down and got me, and what's the share movie where she's tied up by Chaz Palminteri.
Oh, that is with Ryan O'Neal.
Yeah, yeah. I watched that in German, and he just kept bringing out beer. And the beer there comes in really big bottles. And you would see, he spoke decent English, and he said, Kurt, meaning Colt,
Kurt beer for you, Kurt, Vaughn beer for me.
Yeah. And I'd almost get to the bottom of the bottle, and two more would come out. And Carrie came home at about, she got back, my wife got back at like 4 a.m., thinking that I'd been asleep for 6 hours.
Because after all that time that you guys spent apart, you know, no reason for you to spend an evening together on Christmas Eve.
Of course not.
How's that marriage going, Rob?
It's really well. Really well.
So she went out with her friends, and Carrie, you were drinking with a strange man watching a share
movie. This, just out of curiosity, this was Christmas Eve we're talking about?
This was, by now it was. It was the 23rd it going was, in.
Oh, okay. Oh, so, oh, well, that's different.
Yeah.
That's different.
Not much. Well, she was out with her friends from the exchange.
Right.
And they speak all broken English, and who wants to go drink with them, aren't
the exchange. What is that, some kind of dating service, Robert?
That's how we met, actually. I was supposed to get an Oriental woman, but I got Carrie.
The good guy exchange.
Right, but...
So it was just you and Dr. Reiner Stuhl.
Yeah, well, and eventually his son Gregoire joined us because...
Gregoire
came over.
Hello, I'm Gregoire Stuhl.
But mostly it was me and Reiner, and we talked about a lot of stuff, and when Carrie got home, she thought I'd been asleep for 6 hours, but instead, me and Reiner were just...
Partying.
Yeah, we were faced in the front.
Now, the movie, was it subtitled in German, or was it dubbed over in German?
Dubbed in German.
And,
and every now and then, Reiner would repeat a line to me in broken English, so
did
I could follow it.
Did you ever discern what type of medicine Dr. Stump practiced?
Yes, he's a dentist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a dentist.
Did you get a chance to watch Hogan's Heroes?
I looked for it. The only thing that I could find that I could really follow was Viva, the German music channel, which shows the Cher video all the time.
Right.
And I watched a lot of CNN, which is because that's, you know, you go
and
nuts.
English
CNN? You go nuts not hearing anybody speak English. So finally it was, you know, exciting to see.
Are the crowds crazy for Cher?
Apparently all of Europe is the same way in Paris. I didn't get to do much in Paris.
Really?
Did the doctor, even though he was a dentist, did he ever talk to you about doing any kind of medical experiments?
Yes,
see, I never can move by World War II.
Yes, if I never forget, Mike. Never again.
Never forget. Amen.
But it was nice, because whenever World War II came up, I just said, hey, stomach, no hard feelings.
Like you didn't get on the plane on your way back here and discover that maybe some of your fillings were gone?
I misplaced some jewelry.
Dr. Reiner Stump, I've stolen the big boy's teeth.
Look at all of this.
Well, one thing I thought you would like is...
Gunther.
What was the name?
Gregoire.
Gregoire Stump.
It was Gregoire, Pater, and the third one. Amazingly, I can't remember.
Gregoire, Pater, and Dr. and Reiner Stump.
The only thing...
The Stumps, ladies and gentlemen.
The rock and roll Stumps. The thing that I thought you'd like the most is as we got drunker in the evening, he started calling me Ralph.
Ralph.
That's right. And then the German cognac came out. It just
My God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I almost lived to tell about that evening.
That was fun. You couldn't find me a felt hat with a big feather?
The thing is there were stores that had them, but the Germans take their Christmas really seriously. And there was nothing open on Christmas Eve, and there was nothing open on Christmas Day, the 2 days we were in Munich. But we're going to go back and drink some more and get you a hat.
Is an old Christmas tree? Isn't that a German song?
Oh, Tannenbaum. Yeah, Christmas is about hanging. Do they not? 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 Do
disobey you?
The glass steins from the
so
Hofbräu.
So German.
That's very German.
So German, man. Read what it says on the front. Deutschland.
So you remember what
I need to be drinking my Diet Cherry Coke out of this.
Every day?
Out of my way, I'm Hitler.
Never forget.
And the other
never forget, Buzz.
About Germany is the gummy bears. Most of the proper, you know, Germans and Europeans were at home with their family, so in all the touristy places like Marienplatz and Durazzelli, it was me and Carrie and a whole bunch of Orientals.
Really? Don't you think it's like a Nazi-looking thing? Look at this big-ass eagle on top of this.
Yeah.
On top of this beer stein.
Yes, and I think it's important, as we say, never forget.
And never again.
That's right.
Now, where'd you buy this, Rob? You bought it at Zoller and Born?
I bought it actually in...
That says underneath, that is in Airport and Glück Shopping.
It's a limited edition.
Oh, this is hand-painted. 87 out of 5,000.
That's right.
87 out of 5,000 what?
of these Nazi signs.
Oh, Stein. Is it?
Stein.
They go numbering things again.
Here we are. Endearing ourselves to the German people. Hey, we're not on over there. What the hell's
No, but I know if we were on, Stumpf would listen.
Ah, yeah, Reiner Stumpf.
He's my boy.
So it was a good trip, Rob, eh?
Yes, I wish you could have seen the nice tourists, the Oriental tourists, watching the Glockenspiel in Marienplatz, because it was exciting.
I bet it was. I'm glad to see you finally managed to spend a little time with your wife, too.
She was there.
Crowds, Japanese, all of our enemies were there, right?
It was like the Axis Towers. It was marvelous. And I think Carrie comes home sometime next month.
You're not sure about it.
She's home. She's home, and she enjoyed herself, and we're closer than ever. She just kept saying, don't you dare buy a thing for O'Mara.
Get out of here.
Let's go to these lines out. Right now, take a caller 100.
I haven't seen you in so long, honey. Why don't you go out with your friends?
1-800-636-1067.
Sure, it's fine. I'll stay here with Dr. Stumpf.
Stumpf
and his son, Helga, or whatever the hell his name is.
His son was Gerwar.
Gregoire.
And Painter.
They don't pronounce them letters right.
Here, drink out of my Nazi stein.
Oh, that's so good.
Ooh, you better empty it out. I've got the tooth of Rabe in there.
Caller 100, okay? We'll give you something that comes from a dead animal, the meat of a dead animal that you can eat for dinner. Caller 100, and we'll qualify you to go to the Super Bowl with us. That's caller 100 right now, 1-800-636-1067.
This is the dog.
And now, for those of you who are visiting from Germany,
G. Gordon Liddy.
Ein geflügen zwischen der Haffeln, die 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 Haffeln, die
He even went and filled his pills with sugar. John Geronimo and Michael Maron.
Can you just tell me one other fact about Germany?
Yes.
Don't figure those crowds. They got an honor system on the subway.
Oh, really?
The Nazis have an honor system on the subway.
That's truly amazing. Never forget.
The biggest killing machine in the history of the world. And you go on their subway for free because they got an honor code now.
Yeah, because you know what happens if you don't pay? You die.
Yeah, that's right. You and your whole family.
That's it. You're gone.
You didn't pay at all, did you, on the subway? Did you really pay, Ron?
Never once.
There you go.
Never once, because I would just claim dumb American.
Yeah,
you didn't know what was going on. And, you know, Reinhard Stumpf would vouch for you.
Sure, and then he pulled my teeth out.
Brother Goofar.
Jaguar, what's your brother's name?
Jaguar and Peter.
Jaguar.
It's my brother Jaguar.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, let's call to be against the contest.
Against the contest?
Well, be the 100th caller. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't, sir.
Sometimes it's necessary to express yourself on this show. Just so we understand.
Okay.
So we understand.
I'm trying to be the 100th caller.
Are you for or against the contest?
I'm for the contest.
Good. He's for the contest. Why are you for the contest?
Because it sounds like a good prize. Mystery me.
Hey, he knew mystery me.
You are caller 100.
Great.
Yeah, I really hope you get to go to the Super Bowl with us.
Winner of the year.
You've won a 14-piece chicken dinner from Popeye's. Stop by Popeye's on your way home from work. But wait, there's more. You've also qualified to join us. And won't that be a happy slice? As we go down to Miami to broadcast live from Super Bowl XXXIII.
I won't even know he's there.
All of the stuff for the trip, the plane, the hotel, the Super Bowl tickets, courtesy of Subway. We're going to give away this Super Bowl trip next Friday.
I bet that sounds exciting, doesn't it?
Very.
You got me 10-4, over. You copy?
I 10-4 copy that.
So you can pig out on 14-piece chicken dinner and think about going to the Super Bowl.
Look forward to it.
All right.
Yes, and what was your name again?
My name is Dave.
I can make sure I can fix this contest so you can't win. Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from, Dave?
Calling from California, Danville, California.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Hold on a second.
Sure.
I rename him Super Dave. I'm serious, really.
Can we please fix it so that guy cannot win?
Unfortunately, we can't do that, Don.
Could you picture having to spend a weekend with that guy?
Oh, man. Lose him at the airport,
Mr. Excitement.
He's going to be at our hotel. Whoever the winner is going to be at our hotel.
So will he be getting off the plane in Miami saying to him, no, you have to continue on to Puerto Rico.
Okay, one last thing before we go to Buzz, Girdley, and news and comment from our wacky story file.
Yes.
There's a great 60-second interview right here from Illinois, from Pekin, Illinois.
Ah, Illinois.
Norton? Norton. Guy's name is Robert Norton.
Norton, you know that I know that you want to F me up the A.
That's right.
Happy New Year.
That's a great take. Eddie Murphy, where he's wearing a red suit.
It's the best.
You know that I know
that you want me
to F you up the A. I see the ads for the new Eddie Murphy TV show where it looks like the California Raisins.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. I'm not sure whether I like the idea.
I don't think he's going to fly.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks kind of weird.
Robert Norton did his yard work naked and now faces 30 days in jail. A judge called him a grumpy old man who ignores others' rights. And here's why we just glommed onto this story. Norton, age 75.
Hey, there you go.
Says he's entitled to be nude in public whenever he wants.
We're going to call him with our support.
He says he's been arrested over 12 times since 1981 for public nudity.
You know, it's guys like this that make America great. That's just my humble opinion.
Sounds like at 75 you could use the support.
Okay. Hey, bada bing.
Here we go. That's 60-second interview right now. That's all the time we can devote to this is 60 seconds.
Winning the award for best ride arrangement.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to show you the Bob Hope story from the tabloids.
He's still with us?
Well, he might have passed over the holidays.
Wait till you see this picture. This is the worst Bob Hope picture ever.
He's sliding, eh?
Bob Hope's sad, lonely Christmas. We're all praying that this won't be his last.
Mm. Yes, we are.
Take a look at that picture.
I want to tell you.
Rob. He's the oldest.
Oh, dear.
He's the oldest he's ever been. Well, I mean, of course, that's obviously the oldest he's ever been, but that's...
Is he picking at his gums here?
Let me see.
Pass it back over. Save that picture for me.
No, he's...
He's gnawing his hand off.
No, he's like, he's being philosophical.
You're very generous. You're very kind. That's Bob being philosophical.
Bob Hope is trapped in his failing body. Say, heart sick pals.
He has no more specials.
He's a giant age spot. And take a look at those beady eyes and those orange teeth.
I still bet he could get up with the big boxing trunks and do a sketch.
Bob Hope was surrounded by family over Christmas, but the ailing legend was trapped in a dark world of his own. Even in his own house, surrounded by those he loves and love him, he's alone. It's tragic to watch.
Yeah.
He's trapped in his failing body. His eyes give him the worst trouble.
Yes.
Constantly red and sore. Some days he doesn't recognize Dolores.
Well, he's looking philosophical in that picture. Just remember you said that.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's the AP All-American football team.
No.
But as his aide told him, the troops had been deployed to the Gulf, and for an instant his eyes lit up.
Sure.
Time to go. He struggled to stand. But then he slumped back down again. He muttered,
Who writes these?
He muttered about there being nothing he could do, and his tears turned his eyes welled with tears. It makes me cry to see him struggle to do even the smallest thing.
And who's ratting him out to the tabloid? Well, it's the unnamed source that says that, you know.
A friend of the family.
Somebody's selling this picture.
Somebody got that picture. That's big money for a picture like that. Oh, Bob picking his teeth.
Oh, there's three. I think he's being pensive, Mike.
Yes, very. And as I said, that's very generous of you.
There's a trifecta of Bob Hope stories in this week's... Oh, that guy, the old guy who's naked's not at home. There's a trifecta of stories. We have Bob Hope's Sad Lonely Christmas.
What is that? That looks like the same picture.
Oh, this is just a different copy.
There it is.
Then we have Bob Hope's Vietnam Nightmare.
Oh, God.
Leave him alone! Vietnam soldiers weren't as friendly to Bob as WW2 GIs.
Sure.
Hey, you can treat me with a little more respect there, GI.
And then we have uproar over vicious attack on America's favorite funnyman.
Bob Hope fires back at cruel Woody Allen.
Oh,
yes. That little pervert. I'll take him on. Bob Hope has struck back against an amazing attack by Woody Allen, who branded the 95-year-old comedian lazy.
True.
And here's a fair fight.
All right, here's Bob Hope's response.
His comeback.
Mm-hmm. Hope was steamed and said, "Woody who?"
That's
what it said. When he first heard about Allen's cheap shot and with a classic Hope put down, he responded, "Woody who?"
Of course, he's also saying Dolores who these days.
Deeply wounded.
He's had problems with Woody before.
Deeply wounded by Woody Snipes, the frail and elderly Hope told a friend, "It's infuriating."
Really?
This is so much made up. I don't think Bob's telling anybody anything right now.
Hope's fans are outraged.
Infuriating, Woody.
Over the uncalled for jabs by Allen, who was once voted America's least liked celebrity. Blah, blah, blah. Let me see.
Yeah. Woody Allen, let me take him on. Get him in the ring. Here's George Foreman to help me beat the crap out of Woody Allen. They're right here, yeah.
All right, here's Woody Allen. Woody Allen says Bob Hope is lazy and nobody cares about him,
right?
He would come out and do these old-fashioned sketches, and after a while, he was unashamedly reading from cards. It was just awful.
Oh.
Yeah. Can't fault him there. Now, how come Bob's response is not, "You're sleeping with your daughter"? How come only Bob can come up with a Woody who?
Yeah, but I mean, Woody, I mean, my guy, he's the guy that's, in that nice glass house with a bag of rocks.
All right, here's what Bob says in response to that. Everybody read those cards back then.
That's his response. Everybody read the cards.
Let me see. And then the rest of it is all blurry.
I'd still like to see the fight.
And
Bryce, I'd like to see Dolores Hope take on Woody Allen. I bet she could win.
And finally, patriotic performer Bob Hope took great pride in the USO tours. He mounted to entertain Americans fighting overseas until a tired, war-weary crowd of soldiers turned on the beloved entertainer and became violent.
Hey, why are they throwing rocks at me, Dolores?
Oh, Bob.
Oh, Jesus. They're getting really... Is somebody giving... Get Joey Henderson up on the stage.
You suck! Hey, come on now. Bob Hope denies in print that the ugly incident occurred. Author Lawrence Quirk writes in his new book, Bob Hope, The Road Well Traveled, that Bob Hope was beginning to realize the jaded, exhausted men in Vietnam were a different breed than WW2.
They don't respect me. They don't respect this show. Come on now.
There were pickets waiting for Bob when he arrived in 1971.
Get the GD Rockettes up on stage.
After 15 minutes, Bob was being drowned out by booze.
Hey, screw you!
With the TV camera panned the crowd, the GIs were giving Bob the finger.
Oh, no.
And the troops started throwing things and tried to rush the stage.
Hey, let's get out of here right now. Get little Liza Minnelli and tell her we're getting on the next transport out of here.
Kill Hope! Kill Hope! Hey. Kill Hope!
Oh, come on now. I'll give you my hat.
The MPs, the military police, had to form a protective guard on the stage. And Bob Hope was visibly shaken and had to stop the show.
See if I ever come back to the Mekong Delta anymore.
There you go. Let me see. Ron Kovic, the Marine, who was the inspiration for the movie Born.
On the 4th of July.
On the 4th of July.
Right.
Says he saw Bob Hope in December 1965. Our response to him came out of fear and loneliness. Convicts in prison would have done the same.
Ooh.
Okay.
Sounds like it might have really happened.
Okay. One last thing. Here's a woman on the telephone who says she knows the naked guy that we tried to call a moment ago and could not get a hold of. Hello, is this Liz?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Liz, you know that naked dude?
Yes, we do.
I bet he's a great guy.
No, he's a little grouchy. Grouchy.
Well, that's what the news story says, is that a judge called him a very grumpy a grumpy old man who ignores other people's rights.
He's very grumpy.
You ever seen him naked?
No, I never saw him naked.
Are you aware of the fact that he likes to parade around naked all the time?
He just does his yard work.
He just does his yard. And I appreciate you calling from your private plane. Hello?
Oh, no,
the humanity. She's gone.
Hey, that's Dolores. Look at that corporal down there. He set me off.
Let's leave.
No show next year for you. I hope you're on the jungle. F you, Bob Hope.
Hey, that's uncalled for.
F you. Bring out the
the gold diggers. All right,
I do.
Hey, Buzz, I just heard your music in there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And what is your lead story tonight?
Well, we're going to get to the story about the gay Teletubby, but we should start this evening with the end of the NBA lockout.
Okay.
Right. You got me on that gay Teletubby, though.
All right, we'll be right back with the first installment of Buzz News and Comments for 1999.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Very professional.
We'll be right back. This is the Don and Mike
NBA players.
Exactly. I don't know if there are any fans left out there anymore, but the big development of the day is that the lockout appears to be over.
I'll watch it.
The league, good. The league and the union came to terms this morning after a six-month standoff. After losing about $500 million in salary, the players go back to being the highest-paid guys in professional sports. They average over $2.5 million a year.
I'm happy for all those people who do, you know, work in the stadiums and stuff like that. I'm happy for them.
Yeah,
tell you this: if I was ever in any kind of labor negotiation, though,
right,
the last person I'd ever want negotiating for me,
mm-hmm,
some big stupid basketball player like Patrick Ewing.
I saw him
on Larry King the other night.
Yeah, he was, you know, he's the president.
John is a box of rocks.
Isn't he president of the players' union?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
He's the main man.
And I didn't expect this to happen. Yesterday, wasn't this thing like all done? I mean, it wasn't going to happen. This thing was apparently a super secret meeting that they had to resolve.
Well, they were very close.
A last-minute decision. Yes, we'd heard they were close. A last-minute agreement at about 6 o'clock this morning. The players have already voted on it and approved it. The owners will vote on it tomorrow. By the way, on the subject of how much money professional sports athletes make, the basketball players average about $2.5 million a year, as I said. It's a little under $1.5 million a year for baseball players now. Pro football, the most popular sport in this country, about $900,000 a year, under $1 million. They're the lowest paid of the three big sports.
Aw.
Poor
baby.
Feel badly for them.
Poor baby.
After canceling three months worth of games, the league's hoping the fans will be back for a 50-game season that begins in the first week of February. The playoffs will be in the month of May.
How could Patrick Ewing possibly be negotiating for all of these other guys? There are guys who are making nowhere near the money you were just talking about.
Right.
Patrick Ewing is at $15 million a year.
And the big issue, really, for a lot of these guys is the guys that have been in the league for a while have put their money away, and they can sit on a strike like this and take their time. It was the guys, but I felt really, as much as you shouldn't feel sorry for these guys making all the money, but the guy that was having to go to Italy and play because he was going with those Italians because he was pasta. Hope it was gorilla.
Gorilla pasta.
Pasta, that's good pasta in Italy.
Patrick Ewing totally butchers the English language. I got to get a tape of the Larry King show where the frog is going, it was a split screen.
Okay, right.
And you with Patrick, basically, what are your thoughts? Where do you stand on this? And totally unintelligible from Patrick Ewing.
But he's rich.
He's very rich.
Okay, very rich.
Million.
Very rich.
$15 million
a year.
President couldn't understand a goddamn thing the guy was saying, though. I really could not.
If I made that kind of money, I'd mumble too.
Of course.
You'd ask me a question, I'd be like, if I was making $15 million a year, I'd just go, ugh. President Clinton's impeachment trial.
Did they get like a... Oh, I can't say that.
Okay. President Clinton's impeachment trial begins
tomorrow. All right, I'll tell a white guy.
Hey,
a white guy to be their spokesperson.
Oh, yeah, a good speaking white guy from the NBA like Bill Walton.
Or Larry Bird.
He's got you there. There you go. President Clinton's impeachment trial.
I can't think of a third white guy from the NBA. I'm trying to come back with another guy. I can't think of one.
Not one that's currently playing right now. Game over. President Clinton's impeachment trial begins tomorrow morning, but the Senate still isn't sure what it's doing. There's talk of a witness list with Monica and all those people, but that still hasn't been decided yet. We're just hours away from this thing, and it's complete chaos on the Hill.
I think it's going to go just like it did in Congress, right down party lines. It's obvious. These guys try to, you know, that the word bipartisan is so non-existent, and they go right down to the wire, then everybody lines up on their party.
What does Patrick Ewing think about all that?
That's the question.
I don't know, but whatever answer he gives, it's a $15 million answer. It doesn't matter what they decide in the Senate. There aren't enough votes there to convict the president of anything anyway.
Steve Kerr. Let's give him another white guy in the NBA.
Hey, congratulations.
George Mirasom. He's like European, though, Mike.
Yeah,
like Slavic.
Hey, still counts.
Judd Bushler.
Hey, get him to do the speaking.
The Bulls got lots of white guys. The Bulls are like the Celtics used to be. They like, that's all these white guys are coming up with are guys that play with the Bulls.
Meanwhile, back in Arkansas, a woman says Bill Clinton,
Luke Longley, the man in the middle.
Luke Longley!
He's still playing, right?
Is he coming back?
Yeah, he's from Australia.
So he says, good night, Mike.
Yeah, he wouldn't be any good either.
A woman in Arkansas says Bill Clinton is the father of her 13-year-old son.
Oh, no.
13-year-old Danny Williams has been told this all his life.
Danny, are you my friend?
Apparently, he even looks like the president.
Who does it down there, Buzz?
Last month, he was even DNA tested.
Oh, my God.
The tabloids, several of them, Hard Copy and Matt Drudge are all over this one.
I love you, son.
Oh, you're my daddy.
Yeah, you're a good boy. Yeah, just treat your mom well. Don't bother me.
Mama, there's my daddy on the TV.
Boy, it just can't stop for him, Jim.
No, it can't. With tears streaming down her face.
He made me. That's my daddy on TV. Sonny, the president is your daddy.
I'm so proud.
Mama, I'll talk to him on the TV. He don't talk back to me. Daddy.
It's not a telephone, son. It is the TV.
Daddy. He's my daddy. Look, I got big rosy cheeks like you do. Load up the truck. We are going to Washington.
With tears rolling down her face, this woman in Arkansas tells...
Chelsea is my half-sister.
Hello, Mother Hillary.
She tells Hard Copy that, I quote, he was good to me. He gave me money. But Hard Copy says it isn't sure when it will air the tape, if ever, and no word yet on the results of the DNA test.
Oh, so there are no results for the DNA test.
Keep watching the tablet.
Yeah, I'll wait for that one.
I look just like him.
Look at that resemblance. Monica Lewinsky, meanwhile, has been asked to be the mistress of ceremonies at the annual Testicle Festival this year in Montana.
Woo-hoo!
That's, of course, the Prairie Oyster Food Fest in September in Clinton, Montana, of all places.
Can't wait for that.
Quoting the organizers, she hasn't said yes and she hasn't said no. And they add, she's going to need a little fun after all she's been through.
Hold on, I got a soundbite from Monica Lewinsky. There's her comment. Boy, I would have expected a little more from you.
There you go.
More oysters, Monica?
Oh, God.
Monica Lewinsky speaks for the first time at the Testicle Festival.
Oh, hey, always end a sentence with a punctuation.
Oh, Monica.
Dear. Ms. Lewinsky, your table's ready.
Hey. She's excited.
We have an excellent prime rib this evening. With horseradish sauce?
Ms. Lewinsky, sour cream on your baked potato?
More?
You love that.
More, yes. For dessert, Ms. Lewinsky, we have a lovely creme brulee.
There you go. We agree.
Miss Lewinsky. So you like the meal? Really? Duke tell.
Your compliments to the chef? Oh, my.
Monica Lewinsky.
Those snails. Oh.
Saddam Hussein is trying to drum up.
Oh, Monica.
My goodness, we have a new toy.
Monica.
Ms. Lewinsky, always a pleasure to have you visit our restaurants. Please come again soon. Saddam Hussein is trying to drum up some support in the Arab world.
That is Saddam Hussein speaking right now.
Off the record.
This is Monica Lewinsky.
That is Saddami. Listen carefully.
That sounds similar.
I bet his farts smell real bad, too. Mm-hmm.
Saddam?
Yeah.
Who do you think has worse-smelling farts, Saddam Hussein or Monica Lewinsky?
Monica Lewinsky. I bet Monica gets better food than he does.
I would bet Saddam has smellier farts.
I bet he's running around always eating MREs. Meals ready to eat, you know, with a...
Oh, he's like a king. He's like the king of Iraq.
Yeah, but he's always going to bunkers. Now they probably bring the food in.
Yeah.
Yeah, move to where the food is.
That's Sam Kinison said.
That's right.
Well, yesterday, Saddam was urging Arabs in other countries other than his own, to rise up against their leaders who have so far supported the U.S. in all this. Also yesterday, the U.S. jets had their first dogfight with the Iraqis in 6 years. I was surprised at how little changed while we were gone on vacation. We came back, and it's the same impeachment stuff and the same stuff with Saddam Hussein that you talked about.
You know, Buzz, I saw the people of Iraq,
right,
walking through the streets, and this just makes me laugh. Here's dirty,
yes,
very poor people, mm-hmm, who obviously have nothing, mm-hmm, parading through the streets
with his big-ass oil paintings in these beautiful ornate frames of Saddam.
Sure.
And it's like, these are people with no shoes, no clothes, no house, but these big-ass oil paintings of Saddam that they're running through the streets with.
It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. But, it takes one person, right, to get to them. That's all it really takes. And there's been some talk today, as a matter of fact, that we actually did have some spies in there as part of the inspection team, that we got a little information on Saddam and his communication system, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Give him a poisoned fig.
Anyway, the U.S. Jets had their first dogfight with the Iraqis in 6 years yesterday. The Iraqis violated the no-fly zone.
Dogfight.
One of their jets, well, none of their jets were hit, but one of them apparently crashed when it ran out of fuel.
Those dumb Iraqis, though.
Hey, we won that dogfight. I'm not a guy!
Screw him, you know, that's all he wants to do is shoot down one plane.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the objective of this whole war, is to shoot down one plane so he can parade it through the streets.
Absolutely. If he captures a pilot again, I mean, he'll just go nuts. I wish those guys the best of luck over there.
Cause for a victory parade.
F him and his smelly farts.
That's right. Now, blow him out of the sky.
I get you now, Americans. Ha, 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 ha. Wait, I'm empty. Oh, no.
Oh,
my picture of Saddam is burning!
Oh, make it stop!
All right, Buzz, let me do a break here. We'll come back with another full segment of news and comment. What is next on your tabloid schedule?
Coming up, Hulk Hogan's political plan.
All right.
All right, brother.
We'll be right back.
This is the Dawn. Well, my question is this. Saddam Hussein has been challenged because of his honesty about his propagation of weapons of mass destruction, and our president has been questioned on his sense of honesty and his use of public office to cover himself. I personally trust Don and Mike more than these two people.
Yeah. You want to take an attempt at that one?
More fun than wax lifts. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. All right, let's go back to the world of Guy Birdley. Buzz, what's next on your agenda?
It's barely been a month since Hulk Hogan announced that he was retiring from the ring to run for president.
Hey, hold on a second.
Yes?
What happened to the homo Teletubbies?
We're getting to that.
Oh, it must be big.
We're edging ever closer to that story.
Is it Lala Tinky Winky? Is it Poe or is it Itsy?
It's Tinky Winky.
Fully Wooly.
Man, I knew it.
Fully Wooly.
No,
Buddy Woody.
Wooly Bully.
Wooly Bully.
And Dipsy?
No.
I think Dipsy's straight.
Oh, wait, no, you're talking about Tinky Winky.
Yes, yeah.
Who carries the purse.
Right.
Exactly.
Let's just get to it now.
Certain stuff I do a little research on.
There have been rumors about...
Amy Waning.
There have been rumors about this, ever since the show went on the air in Bready Buddy a couple of years ago, and ever since it debuted in this country last April. Well, the Washington Post outed the gay Teletubby on New Year's Day by saying that Ellen DeGeneres and Anne Heche are out, while Teletubby Tinky Winky is in.
What about Roddy McDowell? We were just having a discussion about Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell.
La, 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 la.
He will be best at all in his Hollywood pals.
He could have played the gay Teletubby, right?
Gay Teletubby. Yes, he could play Tinky Winky.
If he was alive.
Is he still alive?
No,
Roddy McDowell's very dead.
No longer with us.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Mike. You didn't know that when we were talking about him during the commercials?
When we talked about the gay Planet of the Apes?
It was a great discussion. Roddy McDowell wanted to violate Charles Heston.
Mm, absolutely. And Charles Heston said, no! Roddy McDowell said, please.
I will never see it happen.
I know.
You know, a lot of you wonder what we talk about during the commercials. Or during that last commercial, we were talking about gay Planet of the Apes.
We certainly were, and all of Roddy McDowell's friends.
It seems that your Tinky Winky Teletubby is purple, which is the gay pride color. His antenna is triangular, like the gay pride emblem.
A stereotype of stereotypes, yes, he carries a purse.
That is the one that is most noticeable. He comes out of his hole, and he carries a purse.
End of the Don and Mike Show.